You're listening to a rebroadcast of one of Art Bell's most popular programs. When you hear phone numbers, please do not call. Now, please enjoy this encore presentation of Art Bell.
This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
It is, and that would be me. Good morning, everybody. Well, I've got a number of things I want to run by you and sort of stamp a little bit harder. Then we will we'll talk with Robert Ghostwolf. Robert Ghostwolf is a Native American. We'll have you tell him about himself. He's got something brand new. It's in the manuscript stage right now. It's called Winds of Change. And winds of change indeed are what are blowing across us, are they not? But a couple of brief announcements, brief pieces of news that must be repeated. One is, as I said earlier, I made friends with a guy in Buffalo, New York, cop in Buffalo, New York. And he sent me a copy, as you know, I used to be a 911 dispatcher. He sent me a copy of the funniest 911 call I have ever heard in my whole life. Now, unfortunately, this 911 call, because it is real life, is rough. And there is a lot of rough, bad language in it. When you listen to it, you will understand why. And I was faced with two choices. One, I could broadcast it on the air and bleep out all the bad language. But if I did that, 40% of the entire call would be gone. So I didn't do that. And I thought, and a dim, roughly 15-watt light bulb went on over my head, and I called Keith and said, "Hey, Keith, let's reduce it to real audio and put it on the website." And he said, "Okay." And I said, "Let's put lots of warnings up that there's bad language in it. But this thing is too funny not to hear. I wish I could broadcast it. I wish. But for those of you who have a computer or who can make your way to a computer, I'm telling you, go up to my website and listen to this 911 call from my police officer friend in Buffalo. It is absolutely hilarious. It made my day. There's been a lot of tension around here and lately, and it was a wonderful laugh. So I really do encourage you, as long as you can handle the bad language in good humor, to go up and take a listen. It is the first item on the news, the new section, and I think you'll enjoy it. But be warned, there is bad language there. But oh my God, it's funny. Now, Snappy, you have a PC, you're going to have to spend $99. And I mean you're going to have to. Snappy is about the size of a pack of cigarettes, plugs into your parallel printer ports. In other words, nobody has to take their computer apart to do this. Just plug it in, plug in any video source, you know, into the Snappy, camcorder, VCR, TV, whatever, moving video, load up the software, 3.0, a little television screen will appear on your computer, and you will see exactly what's coming from your camcorder. And when you want to snap a single picture from that moving video, you click your mouse once, and boom, you've got a high-resolution photograph in your computer. You make a photo album. You can use it, as I do, to put stuff on the website. I don't know. You can use it for a million things. There is nothing in the world like Snappy. I got it, and I was so blown away, I talked about it one night for 15 minutes after I got it. If you want to see them on the web, they're at www.play, that's play.com. They're a wild company with good products, and you can get it at computer stores everywhere for $99. Well, there you are. I'm holding a special deal on two great books that would be ideal for anyone interested in new science and pyramid power, and it's just in time for Christmas. Dr. Nick Begich has written and published a book titled Towards a New Alchemy, delving into such topics as electronic telepathy, human-dolphin communication, holographic sound projection, and electromedicine. The second book by Dr. Patrick Flanagan is called Pyramid Power. This classic begins with the mysticism of ancient Egypt and moves to the hard science of today. This probably is the most significant book ever written on pyramid energy and its effects. Now, here's the special deal I mentioned before. You get both books by air postpaid for just $29.90. I said both for $29.90. To place your order 7 days a week, call Earth Pulse Press toll-free at 1-888-690-1277. That's 1-890-1277. It's a great deal on some great books, but don't wait. Order now for Christmas at 1-888-690-1277. Or on the web, it's www.earthpulse.com. And I'm sorry about this, but I've got one more message because I got behind. That's 1-800-406-0469. Now, coming to us from the state of Washington, out west here, is Robert Ghostwolf. Robert, welcome back to the program.
How you doing, Art?
Well, thank you. Robert, you've got, here comes a new, yet a brand new manuscript that I'm holding in my hot little palm called Winds of Change. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful.
Did you get a chance to read it?
I just got it, so I'm partway through it.
Well, we'll be talking about a lot of things that are in there.
Okay. All right. Well, I have it here in front of me, so I can reference as we go. Would you give everybody kind of a thumbnail sketch of your background? Who is Robert Ghostwolf?
Robert, an author. He's an artist. He's a ceremonial leader. This summer we just did the first ghost dance in 108 years. I think it was right after your show in July.
Yeah, that was synchronicity at its greatest, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
To receive that song. A lot of people don't know, when I got this ghost dance from Cusco, before I was even allowed to play it on the air, one day I called Robert and I said, Robert, you've got to hear this song. And they wouldn't let me play it on the air, but I played it for Robert. And what was it, Robert? I don't know, a day or two or three later, you called me back and said, this thing has been haunting me.
Yeah. And it's been an incredible journey with it ever since. We've been invited to go to Peru with the ghost dance.
Really?
By the Mayan elders. And we're going to be going also to Hawaii. We've been invited there. It seems that everybody's getting the message that this is definitely the time of change.
What is your Native American background, Robert?
My Native American background is that I am a Mete, which means I am a mixed blood. I am part Lakota, I am part Iroquois, and I am part European. So I guess you call me an American. And when I do speak, so people understand, I don't speak necessarily about the sacred ways of any tribe. I don't do that with what I do. But what I do is I do speak for some of the elders and the information that they give forth to me, that we sit in ceremony and we sit in council as to what should be and should not be released to the world at this point.
Why, Robert, I'm going to ask you a tough question. Why should anybody listen to Native Americans, you, elders, any Native American? Why?
That's a tough one. I would say that you would listen to the Native Americans because they still hold the oldest existing ongoing knowledge on the planet. And when we're saying Native Americans, when I say Native Americans, I also mean those who are in South America and Canada, as well as just here in the United States. What the information has to offer are not only very, very accurate prophecies, if you will, of what will occur, when it will occur, and how it will occur, but they also have solutions to how to do the how to go through them. So I think that when you're listening to what the Native Americans have to say, you're listening to a message from the heart. You're not necessarily listening to someone who's just coming in with information that can't be backed up.
All right. Here's another hard question for you. In, if you kind of look at the wide spectrum, Robert, of Native American prophecy, some of it, of course, has either already come true or not come true. And so if we look at history, how has Native American prophecy done, hit-wise?
I'd say that basically Native American prophecy has anywhere from a 94 to a 97% accurate rate.
Wow.
As far as that question, one could say the same thing of Nostradamus.
Absolutely.
One could say the same thing of some of the contemporary prophets. And I think that that's part of what we're going to get into a little later with the project that I'm working on now with the elders. And we call ourselves basically the Mountain Brotherhood because it's made up of many people from many tribes. And the information that we got was answering that question as far as why is it that sometimes these prophecies don't seem to come to be when they're supposed to be or they happen later.
Right.
How come we'll get a prophecy that a comet's supposed to come and it hasn't come? And it's all got to do with understanding what's going on now with time, with the nature of reality, with the shifting of the electromagnetic poles. And that subject can be approached either metaphorically, metaphysically, or it can be explored through what I call left-brain scientific technology. I try to do a little blend of both. A lot of what I do has been backed up by things already happening.
Take the pole shift, for example.
Okay, let's take the pole shift.
I wouldn't imagine that Native American prophecy would have understood our magnetic poles, would have understood anything at all about them. And so what I surmise when you say there is prophecy about a pole shift is that somewhere in Native American memory, genetic memory, or real memory, there is some kind of proof that something that we now know as a pole shift occurred. In other words, originally, obviously, they would not have been talking about the magnetic north and south poles, but there would rather be some sort of evidence in the past to indicate what we now know as a pole shift happened.
There is evidence. There is absolute hard fact evidence. And we could start off with the Mayan calendar. Most of everything that's been projected in the Mayan calendar has been accurate to the tenth degree. And so accurate was the Mayan calendar that it was used to create some of the programs that are put on computers now for NASA. That's how accurate it was as far as telling time, dates, and events, because they work with a overlay of four different calendars telling time and the perception of time from different points of view based on the celestial patterns in the stars. And it's extremely accurate. We can also go to some of the writings, like the Lakota star maps, which they transcribed on the Buffalo Hides way back when. This was information that was put on a buffalo hide in the year 1621. And they have an accurate description of the heavens, the times, and the events, which tie into directly to the Great Pyramids. They tie into Orion's Belt and the relationship between the Great Pyramids and Orion's Belt. They tie into the same configurations of construction of buildings and sites in Machu Picchu, in Chichen Itza, and the sites that the Lakota have in the Black Hills. And it's an accurate map, so if we're saying, do they have hard fact? Yes, they do have hard fact. They do have real fact. Do they have messages, inspirations, things that happen in ceremony? Yes, they do. And it's probably arrived at from a different means than, say, Danning would get his information.
Sure.
But yet it's the same kind of accuracy.
I know.
And right now, I would put the weight on what the Native Americans say are going to happen, is going to happen, rather than outside sources, because there is no ulterior motive behind it. They're simply saying, we've been trying to tell you this for 25 years. When you're talking about the pole shifts, the Lakota star maps, directly relate to pulse shifts. And some of the information that we'll get into later, once I know they have this posted up on your site, which actually comes from NASA programs, is taken from those maps. And it shows, without a question of a doubt, that we have gone through, in the last 2,000 years, a 32-degree pole shift, which is what you hear a lot of people on your show talking about, is supposed to happen as we go through the next shift.
Does Native American memory on this include what physically occurred? Is there any way from any records that we can derive what happened during the last pole shift?
A lot of the written records one would find in South America, written upon the stones. There's a lot of stones that are coming out right now that are kept in a library by a man named Dr. Cribera, who has stones that tell of the history. The Mayan writings tell about it. There is a calendar stone in Mexico City, which has been called many things, from an Aztec wheel to a Mayan wheel. It's actually a Toltec wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells about the sequences of time and events and the changes that would happen, which have happened, and they are accurate to the day as to when this would happen.
What kind of physical changes are described?
They talk about the breakup of the continents. They talk about the floods. They talk about the experiences of the people with the degeneration of consciousness. They talk about the coming of the European hundreds, thousands of years before they ever arrived. They talked about the consequences of what would happen. See, the difference perhaps in the way the Native Americans look at it is they look at everything as a living organism. Everything's connected to everything. The earth is a living organism. She has her own consciousness. She has her own plans. She has her own dreams. She has her own future. She has her own needs that she must go through shifting. In relationship to that, we work with her with those changes in relation to nature, because nature responds to what's going on in the larger body. And all told, I would say it's an organic perception. It's realizing that we are responsible for everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're responsible for everything that happens, not from the point of guilt, from the point of clarity and understanding that in this time, as we go into what you could call the age of responsibility, the things that we're about to go through, the changes that we are about to go through, are basically due to our own dealings. We have brought them about.
Well, plug, I guess. I wrote a book called The Quickening. You know that. It deals
good
with
book.
Thank you. It deals with many, many things that are parallels here. And if we look presently at our environment, Robert, we can point to Fisteria that came out of the northwest, or the estuaries in North Carolina, and is now in the North Sea, puts horrible little bleeding sores on fish, and now is infecting human beings. We can talk about changes in simple-celled organisms in the Antarctic, in DNA. That's really scary stuff. We can talk about the changes in weather. We can talk about the changes in frogs. And by the way, once again, I want my audience to know that even though there was controversy about it, now scientists have conclusively shown that this is because of the ozone problem. I repeat, because of the ozone problem. So we can talk about all of those things and a million more things with regard to the environment, Robert. But when you and I talked, a few days ago when we set the program up?
Right.
You told me something that really stood my hair on end about hunting. And
oh, about hunting, yeah.
Yeah, when we come back after the bottom of the hour break here, see how I like holding people over. I want you to tell the audience about this, and I'm curious whether they come up with the same kind of reaction that I did. Scare the hell out of me. Robert, hold on.
Okay.
My guest is Robert Ghost Wolf, an American. Native American. American. From the high desert. where the winds continue to blow. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay right where you are.
To a rebroadcast of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Here again is Art Bell.
Once again, here I am. My guest, of course, is Robert Ghost Wolf. And somebody sent me a fax and said, why do you call him Native American? And, of course, the faxer really is correct. Robert Ghost Wolf, like all Native Americans, is just an American. However, so that my audience grasps the nature of what we're talking about, which is Native American prophecy and Native American tradition, I am being, I suppose, somewhat politically incorrect for simple identification. I'll consider that, but I really want you to understand who you're hearing from. And what he represents. He is mixed blood with some European, as a matter of fact. So he can move reasonably between both worlds. And they are different worlds, make no mistake about that. And that would be, in quotes, our world, the European background world, and he can talk to the elders of the tribes as well. So it makes him a good liaison kind of person. And for that reason and identification of what we're doing this night on this program, and no other, I refer to him as Native American. 4377 for liquid colloidal minerals. Call 1-800-755-4377. In a moment, back to Robert Goldstein. I've got something I want you to hear. Somebody sent me this, and I want to thank them. They must have gone to an awful lot of work to do it. As a matter of fact, let me get his name here before I play it. This was sent to me by, by Douglas Selsom of Huntington Beach, California, and I don't know how he did this. He must be a pro, but he did it. Check this out. Really cute.
Who are you going to call if things get out of hand? Who's going to be?
Art Bell.
The signal that travels all across the land.
Hey, Art Bell!
Who's got the guests who can see beyond the stars?
You got it, Art Bell!
And who are the greys gonna take to Mars?
Hey, Art Bell! Art Bell! Hey, Art Bell! Oh, Art Bell! Yeah, Art Bell!
He's just through the news with a fine-tooth comb!
Art Bell!
Air mails at light speed to your home!
Hey, Art Bell!
Don't turn on your PC or pick up your phone!
Yeah, Art Bell!
Those Uncle Arthur's bad to the bone!
Oh, Art Bell!
These are people with too much time on their hands, and obviously a lot of talent. Pretty cute, huh? That's it. Thank you, Douglas. That was very nice. All right, now it's time to get serious again, and this is really serious. We were talking about the various environmental disasters that are promulgating themselves about the planet right now, as outlined in my book. And I was trying, you know, when we were doing sort of a pre-show interview with Robert, he said, you won't believe what's going on out there right now, Art, with regard to hunting. And it was the doggonest thing I ever heard. Robert, you want to tell it to them roughly as you're telling it to me?
Yeah, basically, I was out elk hunting in Montana. And you know how hunters are. They all stand around and talk at a local store. And you always meet the old guys who've been hunting for 50 years.
Everybody gets there and tells each other lots of lies.
Yeah, they got like more tales than you can believe.
Sure.
One guy shot an elk, must have weighed 32 tons, you know. But what's been going on there is, again, this is directly in line with the Hopi prophecies, which has got to do with the fact that they were out hunting, and they have a problem in Montana right now in that mountain lions are hunting the hunters. We're not saying that they're coming across them in a field or there's an accidental encounter. We're saying that they're actually stalking the hunters. They've had three incidences in the last 30 days here last week. But they had three incidences there where nobody was killed, but there was some attacks made.
Mountain lions stalking.
Yes, we're talking about the hunters would be stalking an elk. And hunters work, you know, in patterns going up a hill so they don't cross each other and wind up shooting each other. And what would happen is they would go up and they would see behind the footprints of the hunter that was tracking the elk, they would see in the footprints of the hunter the footprints of a puma.
Now they've had
a number of incidences even here in Spokane where there was an incident a few weeks ago where a mountain lion was in a schoolyard and they had, like, automatic doors.
Yeah.
And the mountain lion walked in through the automatic doors, and the janitor heard this commotion going on in the freight elevator. He walked into the freight elevator, and there was a mountain lion in there.
Oh.
We're talking about that they're coming really close to town.
I've only seen one in my life, Robert.
Big.
I live in Pahrump, and Las Vegas is over a 5,500-foot mountain from here. And I commuted every day, and one night I was on my way down the mountain toward Las Vegas, just off the top of the mountain. And here comes this thing across the street. And I'm telling you, Robert, I'm telling you the truth. This thing covered, like, almost both lanes. It was the longest animal I had ever seen in my whole life. And it turned around and looked at me, got caught in the headlights for a second, and took off, thank God, or I would have hit it. But I have never seen a bigger cat in my life. Man, they're big.
Yeah, they're big. People don't realize how big they are.
What in the world could cause an animal that normally would,
they don't want anything to do with man.
They run away.
Right. But what's happening now is, you know, again, if we go to the Hopi prophecy, they say that the animals will take on the characteristics of the humans. That they will take on the anger and the confusion of the humans, that they will start to become cannibalistic, that they will start to become aggressive. And this is happening. There's more and more. We had it the last time I was on a show, I think we talked about a coyote who went after kids in Arizona.
Yeah.
These incidents are starting to happen more and more, and it's that the animals of this earth have no place left to go. I mean, there's like how much wilderness is left?
Yeah.
And there is no place they can no longer adapt because we're encroaching everywhere and that we can. And there is literally no place for them to go. So there's only one thing that's going to happen. They're going to come back. And this is what's going on now. Happening. It's a global thing. I mean, it's not just happening here. This is an incident that happened here. But it was quite the thing. You know, and What I'd like to talk to you about is based on the thousands of letters that I get from people who've heard us on the show.
Sure.
I think you have, like, a unique audience.
Oh, I do.
I don't think that there are people who don't know what's going on. As a matter of fact, some of the people who have written to me have told me things, the experiences that they've had and things that they've encountered, UFO experiences and things like this that are much more impressive than some of the speakers that I'm with when I'm on lecture circuits. I often wondered what would happen on a lecture circuit if we just had the people get up and ask questions and tell their stories. But I'd like to get out some information tonight on what's going to happen. Because I think a lot of people that I've heard, I don't listen to your show all the time because I can't stay up that late.
I understand.
But I've heard a lot of people say things, Art, and I've heard a lot of people skirt issues. And I think it's time that the people want to know what's happening.
Oh, they do.
I think that it's time that they need to know the truth because, you know the truth and it shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they understand what's coming and why it's coming and what they can do about it, they'll be in a better position. So,
oh, that's quite a preamble.
You know, it's like I get a lot of what I get before it happens. I get it through ceremony. I was just invited up to the Star Knowledge Conference and up in Denver.
Right.
And there were Lakota and everybody up there. If people had come to the Ghost Dance, they would have seen us there with, you name it, they were there. Blackfoot, Apache, Arapaho, Lakotas.
That must have been something.
It was truly a living miracle. And it's still growing. It's still going on.
Was there any sort of consensus that came out of the gathering?
The consensus basically was that it was the time to have done it. There was a lot of controversy about doing it. But we had, you know, like well over 100 people there. And we were like in the middle of nowhere. And a lot of people couldn't get there. It was like the weather just before it happened was incredible. We had 150 mile an hour winds.
Those were the winds that knocked down the gazillions of trees, right?
Gazillions of trees. They picked up bleachers in the schoolyards and carried them across the football field. And it's all part of what's in the prophecies of the Seven Thunders. Now, the prophecies in the Seven Thunders art, I didn't speak about in my book, Last Cry, because I didn't know that the world would be ready for them, to be honest with you. But as I started to write what was going to be originally just an addition to the book that people could plug into the website and get, and I realized that as I was compiling these Seven Thunders, it was all happening. And so I don't think that there's a reason basically to hold back if you're of the like mind that we should go ahead and let them know.
That's what this program is. We are not about holding back here, Robert, whatever the consequences.
A few minutes, they're going to run over and let me know that my website is hooked up, and then I'll go on to that when we know that it's both hooked up.
So yeah, the second you know, Keith is, believe me, right. There every second tonight, we'll get a link up immediately.
Okay, but, you know, it's hard to talk about these things. But I don't see a very good year coming.
98's
not a good year.
97 has not been what I'd call a banner year in a lot of ways. And I speak in a lot of ways, 97 for me has been the best and the worst. A mixture. And
a lot of extremes.
A lot of extremes. Lots of extremes. And it's hard to imagine a year ahead with even more extremes, but I guess that's what you're telling us, huh?
Yeah, we're in for some pretty drastic extremes here. You know, I'd like to start it off by saying that, you know, we have to understand that when we're in ceremony, we see many things. But then not everything that we see is written in stone. It doesn't mean it's absolutely the way that this is going to happen.
When you say ceremony, I guess I should ask you, what do you mean?
I mean, when I sit inside a sweat lodge and we talk to Grandfather and we ask him for advice about what's happening because of what we see. When I sit there and go up on the hill, like at the Ghost Dance, where I got a lot of these visions that I'll be talking about, and I was up there with seven pipe carriers from all different nations, and we were in the middle of Blackfoot sacred land, and it's much like one would expect. We sat there, we smoked the pipes, we asked the grandfathers for clarity, and suddenly the clouds got dark, and yet they were light around us. We turned around and we released the spirits that were on the land because nothing had been done for them. At that point, there must have been 1,000 nighthawks that flew over our heads, which obviously was the spirits of the souls that were there. And they went off. And so when I say ceremony, what I mean is ceremony, Native American ceremony. A lot of what I have, I get when I go into the kivas with the Hopi Sinem. A sweat lodge is a purification lodge. One goes there to be renewed. One goes there to be renewed both physically, mentally, and spiritually. It can last a long time. The last one I did lasted 8.5 hours. I think we did close to 64 stones inside the lodge.
What does that mean, stones?
You take lava rocks and you put them in the pit inside the Inipi. It's called the Inipi Lodge. and we put them in. We used 64 stones, and I think we came out like almost 7.5 hours, 8 hours later. And it gets hot. And what it does is it pushes you out of your body, it pushes you into your spiritual body. And the construction of the sweat lodge is interesting for those students of sacred geometry, because basically it's the same thing as the king's chamber in the pyramid.
Wow.
So that you are not affected by the electromagnetic frequencies. And you can move through time. You can move through time. You can actually go to a place and see it. You can. It's like you're in a dream, but you're not in a dream. You can go back to when something happened, when we did it at the Ghost Dance. A lot of people had memories of the last Ghost Dance when they were on their way and they didn't make it at Wounded Knee. Some of them had memories of the Ghost Dance that they did with Wovoka. We were doing round-the-clock lodges back then, so we must have done a couple of hundred lodges.
Are you able to specifically see what you wish to see, or are you simply shown what those who would have you see something want shown to you?
That's an interesting question, and I understand the necessity, because there's a lot of people who don't understand.
I'm one of them.
So I'm going to do like Indian 101.
Yeah.
And in Indian 101, the first purpose of going to the lodge, you have four doors. They call them four doors. The first door, you purify yourself. The second, and you ask for things for yourself. So that, you know, I need to get rid of my anger. I need to be healthier. I need to have my mind clear. My body's sick. Help me. The second door, you pray for others. You pray to send things for others, to help others, for people that you know that are in problems.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go into the third door, and the third door is like the spirit door. And the spirit door is when it opens up, and before you go into the lodge, you tie prayer ties, which are little pouches of cloth that are wrapped around, and we tie them on a long string.
Right.
Sometimes, usually in my lodges, we tie anywhere from 400 to 1,000 prayer ties. And then we go in, and these are our prayers. We say all of our prayers before we go in. We ask our questions before we go in. And we ask for things that we need to be released from us, whether it's illness, whether it's mental imbalance, whether it's problems in our lives, with the understanding that with everything that you release, you must ask for something to be replaced. So if you get rid of anger, you ask for love. If you get rid of a disease, you ask for prosperity and health. You're always putting something deliberately back. It's done with full consciousness, not that you are at the mercy of the wind. You're a leaf rolling in the wind. And then when you go to the fourth door is when you thank the mother, and you thank Ahometakliyas, and you thank all of our relations for everything that they gave. And that's when it's completed, and it takes a long time. There is no time in the lodge. It's a phenomenon. I've had a lot of people come, scientists and senators, lawyers, doctors, you name it.
Does it always work, or does it sometimes not work?
It always works. Always works. It's like when you sit down with the chinupa, when you sit down with the sacred pipe and you ask for things, it always works. You know it always works. You have to be careful for what you ask. You don't just ask for something. Now, as far as getting what you want, well, you know, grandfather sometimes can be a coyote. You have to be careful for what you ask, because what you ask, you will be shown, but you may not want to see what you were shown. You may not want to receive the answer that you got.
How are you certain in your own mind that you are not seeing what you have concocted in your own imagination, that you are seeing something truly different, separate from, delineated from your own mind's imagination?
Well...
Or is it... can you just not...
It's a little bit like going up to an attorney. And you have to have a little bit of faith in what you're dealing with, and realize that if you're coming from your mind, if you're coming from your head, then your mind will play tricks on you. And it's that's part of the initiation of that type of ceremony, is that you going through the heat, going through the sweat, and it's not torturous, it's not painful.
It is when you go to an attorney.
Yes, it is. And you also don't know the outcome.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But, you know, Well, what do they call 144,000 attorneys at the bottom of the ocean?
A good start,
you know.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of discerning and trusting your soul. Because when you go there, it's a very serious thing. It's not serious glum. It's very serious. When you go up on a mountain for a vision quest, or you go up there to smoke your pipe and you talk to grandfather, it's a very serious thing. It's not something to be taken lightly, because you have to know what it is you're asking for. And you have to go through several stages before those answers come. It's like any other discipline. You know, you have to sit there, you have to fast a little, you have to think about what it is you're going up to.
I'd kind of like to know what fasting does, and we're at the top of the hour here, so we'll break off, and we'll jump back into this as we come back. Robert Ghost Wolf is my guest, and I would warn those of you who are not ready for heavy information, it might be time to tune out.
A cassette. Host AM with Art Bell. This program is aired live Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. in the Pacific time zone and 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the Eastern. Art Bell's Dreamland can be heard live Sunday nights from 6 to 9 in the Pacific and 9 to midnight in the Eastern. Please contact your local radio listing for the exact times that Art Bell airs live in your area. And now, Coastal AM with Art.
Once again, here I am. Good morning, everybody. My guest is Robert. He's a Native American of mixed, and he is here to bring a message that, frankly, yeah. But from the way he sort of gave us a preamble up here, I think it's going to be very soon of the sort I would warn you about. Okay? And when I say that, I mean it no doubt will be disturbing information. So if that bothers you, you might want to take this opportunity to out-tune. That's right, tune out, and have the children safely sequestered. And while we're on that subject, there's a little something I've got here. I mentioned it earlier, and I'm going to mention it one more time because it is the funniest thing that I think I've ever heard in my whole life. A policeman, an officer in Buffalo, and I began an email communication. He knew I was a 911 dispatcher, and he sent me the funniest 911 call that I have ever heard in my whole life. I guess from Buffalo. And there is so much bad language in it that there is no way it could be aired without destroying the integrity. Without destroying the riotous nature of the call itself. It was integral to the reason it was funny. One of the reasons it was funny. And this thing is, I'm telling you, you will, you know, in this day and age of bad news, and there's a lot of it, every now and then you've got to kick back and laugh a little bit, or you'll cry. And this will cause you to kick back and laugh a lot. So, since I can't play it on the air, what I've done is I've put it on the website with a great warning about the bad language. It is in the real audio format, which means you can download it and save it if you want to. Play it again and again. It's worth playing again and again for your friends. Or just simply listen to it on the website. That's www.artbell.com. And it is the first item in the new area. So look for it. Go up there right now and look for it. I'm telling you, it is absolutely a riot. I wish I could play it on the air, but it would just lose everything if you took language out. God, that was funny. That's item one. Item two, before we get back to Robert Ghost Wolf, is, as you know, I have a stupendous website. And I think everybody out there should know that the relationship between this program and the website is sort of a semi-official one. In other words, the network, nor myself, derive any income at all from the website. The website began long ago with, well, actually, let me ask ye master of the website, the current incarnation of our website. That would be www.artbell.com. This is Keith Rowland. Keith.
Good morning.
Keith, the website really began with two people, you and Myron McLeod. That's correct, right?
Yes, that's right.
And really,
years ago.
Really, there is still a sort of a loose connection between Myron and yourself.
Sure. The website is being hosted over there at Myron's facility, ZNet, over in San Diego. And he keeps the network interface going, and I keep the content going.
All right. You do an incredible job. I mean, an incredible job. And finally, it looks to me as though there's going to be proper recognition of it. The website, has been nominated for something called a Webby, which I understand is the equivalent of an Academy Award for websites, and that's about all I know about it. What's going on?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised to see that also. There's a magazine called Web Magazine, and they have an annual Webby's Award, and they have 10-12 categories of websites, and they pick the 5 best websites in the different categories and nominate them, and they have an award ceremony in March of 98, and we were chosen 1 of 5 in the radio category. And I was surprised, you and me both, and so I'm pretty proud of that. And I just now tonight got around to getting the press release posted up on the page and listing all the categories. And in addition to their voting and selecting a winner upcoming in March, they also have a People's Choice voting system where you can go up to the website and put your own vote in. So,
that means that our listeners, my listeners, could go to our website, jump over and vote for our website?
That's right.
Cool.
Yeah. So there'll be actually 2 awards, one that the web magazine judges will select, and then one by the People's Choice Award. So hopefully we can get one or both of those.
So this is a People's Choice Award as well. In other words, we're going for 2 categories.
That's right.
Excellent. And that means that, so you've got all that up there now?
Yep, just posted up there a few minutes ago. It's another item in the new listing. And people can read through the press release. And the other thing is I have all of the websites that have been nominated all hot linked, so people can spend days and days looking through all the other wonderful websites that they've nominated. But first of all, don't forget to go vote for ours first.
All right, Keith. Tell them, Keith, is that 911 call a riot or what?
Well, yes, it is very funny, and a couple things. One, people have already asked me to transcribe it, and I said, no.
No, we're not putting that one on paper.
I don't think I want to have those words in the search engine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just want to thank you for all the wonderful material. It's you're a wonderful talk show host, and the guests like Robert tonight make the website very chock full of wonderful material and links to other places along the web, so... it's a lot of material to work with.
And Robert, by the way, Robert Ghostwolf's website, if you will go to the site right now, and what do? They scroll down to the guest area.
Yeah, always, in the whatever the guests are on for tonight, if you just scroll down past the new items to the scheduled guests, I generally have a hot link on their names, take you over to their website. And then a few days after the show, it'll get moved over to the Daily Summaries area and also on the previous guest page, so you'll always be able to track them down after the show. But for the night of the show or a couple days before, you can always hit it right there on the homepage.
Our website has become so large, Keith, that it's almost like a web within the web.
Well, I have to have a lot of programs running automatically every day just to keep up with it because I can't do it alone.
Well, my friend, you absolutely deserve the award, and I hope every single soul listening will go up there and vote for us in the People's Choice Awards area.
In the radio category, we're the only radio program that's been nominated. The rest of the candidates are different software or technology and audio nets even in our category, but I think we can beat them out.
Friendly. They're of course wonderful people.
Yes, they are. A little friendly competition here now among us.
All right. Keith Rowland, thank you.
All right, carry on.
Good night, my friend.
Good night. Mm-hmm.
There you have it. So that's why you should be headed up to www.artbell, all lowercase, .com. All run together. It's A-R-T-B-E-L-L. So www.artbell.com. And you can... Now, remember that 911 call. I'm telling you, be careful. There's a lot of bad language there, but it has to be there for the impact of the call, let me put it that way. Keep the kids away. Also, keep the kids away from what's coming. It's about to get very serious here. We're talking with Robert Ghostwolf, and he's about to tell us what's coming in 1998. And if you think 97 was a doozer, just wait till you hear about 1998. That's coming up. When it comes to information on ETs, if you're like me, you can't get enough. This is a must. Area 51, the alien interview. We interviewed a man named Victor. Victor, spirited, I believe, actually in digital form. Some video out of Area 51 of what appears to be an interrogation, actually a very serious incident with what appears to be an alien being. It's very serious. It was on Extra and Strange Universe. It is disturbing the way the interrogation proceeds. It's on videotape, finally, and it costs $19.95 plus shipping and handling. It should take 2 weeks to get to you. And if you want to order it, you can do so now at 1-800-510-3420. That's 1-800-510-3420. Alien or not, I don't know. You make the decision. Now, a year's supply of storable food. You seen the weather lately? By the way, I had confirmation of that 120-mile-plus-per-hour wind at Minot. Unbelievable. What's going on with our weather is absolutely unbelievable. You know that tropical depression that died? It didn't die. It got into the Atlantic and blew up back up into a hurricane. I tell you, the weather's getting weird. Storable food, good idea, you bet. And you can rationalize spending the money on it so easily. This particular storable food is not your grandfather's sea ration. Here you get wholesome canned grains, vegetables, tasty gourmet entrees. And I mean gourmet entrees. Soups, fruits, all of this oxygen-absorbed, packed in strong enameled metal cans that'll last 10 years plus. Now, here's how I rationalized. If nothing ever goes wrong, great. I can eat my investment because it's delicious. And if anything ever does go wrong, I've got a year's supply of food, and I do. If you want to investigate, you call my sponsor, Golden Eagle Enterprises, at 1-800-447-7911. A lot of peace of mind involved here. Tonight, Robert Ghostwolf, a Native American, and I specify that he's an American just like everybody else, and for the faxer who complained about my calling him a Native American, I have done so that you might simply understand the nature of the material that you're about to hear and where it comes from. We talked about a sweat lodge, or we were certainly talking about a sweat lodge earlier. Robert, are you there?
Yes.
Good. A sweat lodge is a place where you go and...
For purification.
Purification. And you sweat, and you fast. And I remember I wanted to ask you about fasting. What is it, Robert, that fasting does?
It lightens the body. Essentially, it lightens the body. It's so that you're not dealing with so much body energy. You can move the other energies. If you go there full... If you go there eating and doing everything that you normally do, mm-hmm. Well, then you're sort of not into your spirit, you know. It'd be the same thing that would happen if you were a Buddhist and you were going for a meditation to be alone. You would prepare for it so that you can lighten up your body and the other energies can flow.
So, it's interesting. I once interviewed Willie Nelson.
And Willie.
I beg your pardon?
Good old Willie.
Do you know him?
Yeah.
Okay, Willie fasts as well with a very interesting cayenne I forget the exact thing that he uses. I know it's
probably cayenne, lemon juice, and honey.
You got it. That's it. And he said it produced some incredible results. They would fast for days and days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess you're right. In other words, when you eat, it is a for your body a distraction of sorts.
Well, your energy goes down to your stomach. You're thinking about being full. Your mind doesn't move. It's the same way as if you were eating lunch and you turn around and tried to work on an intense project, you'd have problems focusing, wouldn't you?
Sure.
So it's all part of the preparation. It's an intense thing. It's not the thing that people have to understand about Native American ceremonies who don't participate in them or don't really know about them is that they are very old. A lot of these ceremonies are over 30,000 years old, and they have been carried that long, and they are not recreational. I know that we live in the P.T. Barnum era where everybody wants to have an experience, mm-hmm. but these things are very serious, and they can have incredible results. I mean, we've had incredible healings inside lodges. I've had people who have gotten rid of brain tumors, people who have had hematomas move through their body and not go through their heart or their brain and simply come out into the stones. It's incredible things happen.
Wow. Also, prior to this hour, we talked a little bit about the year that is 1997. And for me personally, it has been the best and worst of years. It has been a very tense year. It's been fully packed for me and, in fact, for the country, for everybody. It's been a very intense year. And you're saying, look out, 98 is going to make 97 look like a picnic.
Yes. And in order to clarify that, did you get up on the site yet?
I'm trying. Our site, and we have a lot of bandwidth, is very...
All right, why don't we do this? Why don't I go into something, and when you can get it, you scroll down on a table of contents, and you go to Project Stargate, and then we can talk about that.
All right, I'm getting in now. Project Stargate, you say?
Go to the table of contents.
Okay, let's see. Table of contents. I kind of hate to be seeing something that so much of the rest of the audience is not going to be able to see.
A lot of your listeners do have computers.
I know they do. I love the... there's a bunch of wolves running across the screen. That's really cool.
Yeah, David Adar sees them all the time.
All right.
I listened to his reverse speech.
What am I looking for again?
Project Stargate.
Project Stargate. Wow. Even little flames at the bottom, but I haven't found Stargate yet.
Table of contents.
Table of...
Should be right up on top. Should be a banner.
All right. Oh, I see. All right.
When you hit that, you should come right into the maps.
All right, well, I still haven't found it. Sorry, I haven't found it. Doesn't matter. Look, I don't want to be able to see something that a lot of the audience won't see anyway, so I'll get to it eventually. Go ahead and start off.
Well, I think that one of the important questions to address with people is something that we spoke about earlier, which is, well, how come Nostradamus has this prophecy and it doesn't happen exactly when he predicted it would happen?
Right.
How come whoever is coming up with the prophecy and they don't happen exactly, whether it's Christian, whether it's Native American, whether it's Buddhist, whether it's prophecies, basically now as we look at them, are all sort of interrelating. And they're all saying pretty much the same kind of message, that we are headed toward a time of extreme change, where reality is going to shift, and we hear all different explanations about pole shifts and the electromagnetic planes reaching zero point and what's going to happen. And I think if it's not understood, what happens is it can spread fear, and it really is not something to be feared. It's something to understand. It's like when you hear a prophecy, and as I get into the Seven Thunders, some of those prophecies have already happened. They were messages to let us know when we would enter the end times and that we would know they were the end times. And when we say the end times, because I hear that phrase everywhere thrown around now.
I know.
the end times does not mean the end of the world. It means the changing of reality. It means the shifting of consciousness. It's like when we came out of the Atlantean time and we came into the next period of time, which most people would look at as Egypt. Then from Egypt, we went to Greece, then to Rome. As we went through these different consciousness shifts, this is more of what we're saying. We're talking about, at this time, a major change, sort of what happened when we came from the time of the dinosaurs, the time of the Lemurians, and we moved into the present world, which is what the Indians call the fourth world.
Okay.
And it's not the end of the earth. The earth will not end. The earth will go on. But whether we choose to go on with it is the question.
Do we have a choice?
Yes, we do. We absolutely have a choice. And I think as I go through this, that'll become pretty clear what the choices are. I believe Dannon was talking about we're going into multiple realities.
Mm-hmm.
And our choices are which one of those realities do we choose to experience. There is a world that's coming that will be not such a pretty picture, where there will be a lot of war, there will be a lot of destruction. There's a world coming with the base. We work on a calendar now is based upon the birth of Jesus.
Okay.
So everything is before his birth is considered B.C. After his birth is considered A.D.
Right.
And scholars everywhere go through many disputes. Even some of your Christian scholars will turn around and tell you that based on historical and astronomical observations that we're talking about a 5 to 7 year difference.
Right. B.C., before Christ, A.D., after death.
Right.
The death of Christ.
And we're talking about a possible 5 to 7 year difference.
I have heard this again and again and again. That
so when you're going through the prophecies and it says that something's going to happen in the year 2003, 2005,
right.
2009, 2012,
right.
Well, how can you gauge it if you don't know what year it is? You see? So a lot of what we did was to say, okay, well, here we have these Mayan prophecies that are talking about this. The Mayan prophecies talk a lot about, so do the Inca prophecies, and so do the Toltec prophecies, so do the Lakota prophecies. We can go the Hopi, we can go Iroquois, we can go all the way down. They speak about information that was given to them by a being who is referred to basically as the Pale Prophet. We're talking about, in the Lakota, he's called Uponawin. In Mexico, he's referred to a lot as Quetzalcoatl. The stone that they have in Mexico was designed to be easy, can't be contested. And the same thing with the accuracy of the Lakota star maps. Dates, times, places. And what we did was we took all this information and we spoke to people at NASA. NASA gave us, our friends over there, not NASA, don't let me misinterpret that. Our friends over there gave us a program. It's called the Star Globe program.
It's called what?
The Star Globe.
Star Globe, okay.
And this is how they judge where stars will be, what the patterns are, how they can send something that gets there, you know, where everything's going to be, so they can map their...
The Talk Station, AM 800 KSTP.
To the best of Art Bell.
From the Kingdom of Nye, Coast to Coast AM continues with Art Bell.
As we approach Christmas, the very good people at the American Gold Rose Company are back, and boy, do they have a collection. They take a real rose at its absolute peak, and they dip it in 24 karat solid gold. Why did we do that? First, there is the beautiful classic rose, priced at just $40.95. It's 11 inches long. The Hollywood Elite, $65. And you're sending somebody a 17-inch long-stem gold rose. Or, if you wish, just the original rose, simple, no leaves. but dipped in, of course, 24 karat gold, $39.95. But there is more. If you buy any two roses right now, you receive a free Christmas pendant made of a genuine mistletoe leaf and dipped in 24 karat gold, a $23 value. The American Gold Rose Company. Call them now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. If you live in Alaska, Hawaii, or Canada, please call area code 918-687-0404. So there you have it. This year, give a gift that truly is out of this world. The clear voice of the wind, the music of our universe, the supreme guidance of a higher being. So many of life's very best lessons await at the American Institute of Holistic Theology. This non-secular, accredited distance learning college offers programs to help you be healthier in mind, body, and spirit through theological teachings in holistic health and healing, humanity, and philosophy. Broaden your knowledge to help others while you learn the business of practicing as a holistic health counselor. The legal, administrative, and marketing aspects, as well as the helping aspects. Through self-paced, independent home study, you can earn a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree in mind-expanding disciplines, including divinity, metaphysics, naturology, parapsychic science, and more. Awaken the spirit within. For a free catalog, call 1-800-949-HEAL. That's 1-800-949-4325. American Institute of Holistic Theology is accredited by the American Association of Drugless Practitioners Certification and Accreditation Board. For more information, call 1-800-949-HEAL. Well, all right. Robert, you're not going to believe this, but we have totally destroyed our website.
Well, send apologies to Keith. Must be Indian medicine here.
Also, I want to add, I did get to your page, and we need to correct something. The index is not on your front page, Robert. You've got to go. You got to go down to the bottom and click on what is it? Is it Star Globe?
Stargate.
Stargate.
Project Stargate.
Project Stargate. But down at the bottom of the first page, you've got to click on something to get to the second page where the index is.
Okay. Well, at least we know that people are tuning in.
Now, what I would suggest to you at this point, since my web page is now toast, give out your web address. We might as well toast yours.
Okay, let's see if they can toast AOL. We are at www.wolflodge, W-O-L-F-L-O-D-G-E, .org. That's www.wolflodge.org.
Okay, good luck. Lots of ruck. Now, let's get to the meat of it. I'm not going to be able to...
Well, I'll get to the meat of it in the discussion, and later on they can look and call and ask questions.
All right, good.
But essentially, what we have there, if they and when they get there, is what they're going to see is the first two maps up on top. These are, again, the Star Globe program. Anybody can get that now. And this is the same program that NASA uses. And we worked off several points of reference, being that we have in Native American prophecy legends of this pale prophet who came and taught the people here, and dates and times of his being here, where he was, when he was born, and when he would return. Very similar to Christian prophecies, stories. And what we did was we said, okay, we go into the Bible, let's take it right from the Bible, because it correlates with what goes on in the Inca prophecies and the Mayan prophecies. And when you go to the Bible, when you go to, I believe, Matthew, it talks about the birth of Jesus and Herod asking his wise men about the location of the star that the three wise men were following, what time it happened. So the ancients were very clued into astronomy. They gauged time by astronomy. and they all had an understanding of this knowledge. And they based it on stars because basically they had to base things that would happen on constants.
Right.
So for all intents and purposes, continents and mountains are still where they were 2,000 years ago. They haven't moved yet.
Okay.
Yet. We're heading toward that. And even the Kogi Indians down in Colombia, who are basically the oldest surviving intact civilization in the Western Hemisphere, have star maps. We have star maps in Africa. We have star maps in Australia. So we took this information and we ran it through the program, and we came up with the date of September 15th, 5 BC. Because everything that correlates around the birth of Jesus talks about the star in the heavens. So this was a sign that is throughout every culture. It wasn't just coming from one culture.
September 5 BC, five years before Christ.
At 3 a.m., what happens is we look up into the heavens, and we see something that has never happened before, hasn't happened since. And we went all the way back with the maps, because you can go back as far as you calculate, as far as you want to go. I don't know how they do that. They must know something that we don't know, as far as going to the future. But when you go to the coordinates, what you see is in the stars coming from the north, you'll notice the first thing is that Polaris, the North Star, is not at the North Pole. It's not there. It's 32 degrees off. Now, this is very important based on a lot of the information that's coming out now and a lot of the contemporary prophecies. And when you deal with information such as Greg Braden presented on your show, we're talking about at the next shift, when we hit the shift into the millennium.
Right.
When we hit 13 hertz on the electromagnetic frequency, we go into zero point. Now, zero point's interesting, but what does it mean? Where does it come from? Why is it happening? And what happens? If we know that it happened before, that can help us, because then we know, okay, through this. You know, when you're a prophecy art, it's like, well, where does it come from? It's just something that somebody's saying. It could be coming from anywhere. But when you're backing up a prophecy with hard facts, that presents something different. It means you got to look at everything again. If you go to September 15th on the chart, and these maps, the actual maps that they use with NASA are up there with the coordinates, so people can check this out, because I know we're going to have some astronomer buffs out there who are going to get into this.
Sure.
And the thing is, if they go to and they follow the coordinates on the map, they go their own version of the program where they can get a hold of us to get it, what happens is really amazing. Because it happens at that time, on September 15th at 3 a.m., and it shows that the star Regulus and the star Venus, which would be the two pictures just below this. This is coming from the east, because it says in the Bible that they looked to the east and they saw the star. And the star was fixed and it stood over the manger where the child was.
That's right.
So as we go there, what we see is that Regulus and Venus are perfectly aligned. Perfectly aligned. It's if you were looking at them, if you were standing on the earth and you were looking up at them, and we looked at the angle of 51.2 centimeters, which would be the same angle as the Great Pyramids. And as we if you were looking up at the stars, you were two-legged standing on the earth, what you would see is one gigantic star, because you would see both stars together.
And its brightness as compared to, say, Venus now, which is incredibly bright anyway.
It'd be many, many, many times brighter.
Many magnitudes brighter.
Many, many. It'd like be 5-10 times brighter. Because you're seeing the reflection of both stars, especially as they're merging.
Right.
Okay. Because we said, well, I know that there's theories that this was a UFO. But if it was a UFO, then how could the wise men have known months before and traveled by camel and donkey and everything else to get to this point?
How could they have made the prediction? Sure.
Right. They had to base it on some knowledge that they already had, that this was going to happen. I mean, we can't travel 2,000 years ago the speed that we do today. So they knew months in advance, maybe years in advance, that this is going to happen at this time. They went to Bethlehem, and the star, exactly as they saw it, was there. So that would rule out, to me, any UFO incident, because a UFO incident would be accidental, incidental. It would happen in the moment. Nobody would be able to predict that it was going to be there.
Correct.
So here you have these two stars lined up, and it shows, and there's stories in both the Bible and both the Native American legends about the prophet, who basically you could say are one and the same. That's a whole story in itself. What we're saying is that he says, I am of the morning star. Now, the morning star is Venus. And when you look at Regulus, it says in Webster's Dictionary that Regulus is the diminutive of the little king. So the three wise men come. They come to Bethlehem. There's the star. And they're looking for the little king. They're looking for the sign that they know. And as we look at the star patterns, we say, okay, so this would correlate to all the information that we have, as fragmented as it is, but from all the sources globally, which is one of the great things about our age, and having the web when it does work.
By the way, our web page seems to have come back up again. Yours is down.
Mine is down.
So what we're doing here is we're blowing out websites. Take it easy, folks. When I say yours is down, you know, it comes up with no DNS entry, which means so many people are hitting it, you can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what to tell you.
Okay.
At any rate, please continue.
Okay, so now we say, okay, so we have the birth, but we have to verify the birth. How do we verify the birth? Well, we go to the ascension. When did he ascend, and where did he ascend from? So on the map, and both of these maps are side by side. It says birth and it says ascension. They're side by side when you look at it. On the ascension, we calculated March 28th, 28 AD, at 2:15 p.m. And when we put the star maps together, lo and behold, what happens is they perfectly align over each other. Every star is the same except one. Now, why would we do that? Because in metaphysical understanding, in native understanding, in Inca understanding, we're saying when you come into this world, you come in on your star, and when you leave on your star. Which is why when you see so many pictures of the wise men or the wise Indian chief saying, it's not yet my time. They knew this knowledge intrinsically, like we know how to dial a telephone and tell by looking at a clock what time it is. So they look up at the stars. They know that their configuration on their birth date was not there. It's not their time yet, so they continue. And it says in the Bible that Jesus said this many times to his disciples, it's not yet my time. So he knew his time, meaning he would leave on his star pattern. Right. When we go to March 28th, 28 AD, at 2:15 p.m., like I said, every star is the same. Now, this has never happened. And we called up, I believe it was Mark Hanley who designed the program, and said, you know, what are the chances of this happening? And he said about a zillion to one. And some other things came across on the map that he said, well, that can't happen. I said, well, what do you mean it can't happen? He said, well, it just can't happen. I designed the program. I said, well, you're looking at it in front of you, aren't you? He says, yeah, but it can't happen. But it is happening. What we see on the second map is that on that date of March 28th, the only star that's different in the heavens is that Venus has ascended. So that shows, based on the knowledge that would have depicted the time, the date, and the calendars back then when they did them. Remember that when they did calendars back in Jerusalem, before we had our present calendar, it was based on the information that I'm giving you. It was based on the knowledge that I'm giving you. It was all based on the stars, the same way we navigate. So they knew precise times and dates. And if you're coming in on your star, you're coming in on the first page that shows September 15th, 5 BC, and then it shows that Venus is the only star that's different. Out of the whole heaven, out of 10 billion stars, there's only one star that moves.
Now, if I'm understanding this correctly, you're saying that's what happened then.
Correct.
And it's going to happen again?
Yes.
And when it happens again, like the elders that know it is not their time to go, but do know when it is their time to go, when it happens again, I may be making leaps I ought not make here, but then it's our time to go.
Sort of. But keep in mind that the key factor here is that where the North Pole is now, where Polaris is now, and it's shifting, it will shift back 32 degrees. So the electric, when we're talking about the poles, we're not talking about some stick that goes through the earth that's fixed. We're talking about electromagnetic frequency that moves.
That's true.
It wobbles. It changes. Right now, it's changing every day. They have to keep coordinating their maps for navigation. They have to keep adjusting the atomic clock because you keep losing time. Phenomenon.
That's true.
So what we're talking about is the electromagnetic poles shift 32 degrees. Well, when they shift 32 degrees, what happens is we're right back at the same time of where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So this correlates to the second coming. It's no longer just myth. We're now getting facts, hard data.
So you're saying you know the date of the second coming of Christ?
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to give it over the show.
People could research and project
it. They could research and they could find out on their own. And the information that I'm telling you about is and will be in Winds of Change so that they can read about it if they don't have the program.
Can you please tell me how Native American legend understands Christ, period? In other words, I guess that's my question. I don't know how else to phrase it. What is the Native American understanding of Christ, period? As we all understand Christ, do they look at Christ in a different way?
They just have a new name. They have a different name, depending upon where you're going. Okay, so let's get controversial, and I'm not saying this to contest anybody's beliefs. What I'm simply stating here is my beliefs and the beliefs of the Native American people as I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose one of the best ways to do that is to give you something from the Incas, where it's said, and this is in the Mayan prophecies, Quetzal, the prophet, who spoke to the people there at a city called Kulula, and he spoke of the cycles of the dawn stars. Remember that everything that they used prior to the calendar that we have now was based on the Venus calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole calendar in those years was based on that, going back to Egypt and beyond. And it says here that he says to the people, for five full cycles of the dawn star, the rule of the warlike strangers will grow into greater and greater orgies of destruction. Hark well to all I have taught you, and return not to the serpent and the sacrifices. Their path will lead to the last destruction. Know that the end will come in five full cycles of the dawn star. For five is the difference between the Earth's number, which in the Native American mathematics is eight.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a number, it could be a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And the dawn star, which is 13, which is the number of these children of destruction. Now, this is supposedly Quetzalcoatl. It sure sounds like the same person I heard in the Bible of King James. And when we talk about the dawn star being 13, is it a coincidence that it happens to correlate to 13 hertz, the Schumann theory about the electromagnetic plane when we go to zero point?
Mm-hmm.
There's too many coincidences. Based on this information, and again, I'm not putting this information out to dispute anybody's religious beliefs. I'm putting it out as hard fact. If we take this, what we find is if we move back 5 years, because now we can base the calendar on a date. If we move back 5 years, we find that 1998 is actually the year 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you go to Gordon Michael Scallion or Nostradamus or Christian prophecies that are out everywhere.
Ed Dames.
We talk about 2003 as being the beginning of the Earth changes. So that would mean that the year 2012, when in the Mayan calendar, the Mayan perception, there is the end of the world. Isn't that what was said? It's not the end of the world, it's the end of reality as we know it. But 2012 is actually 2007. So what that means, and with what's occurring and what's going on, things that Daniel was talking about,
yes.
Ed Dames and other people. I haven't heard Ed Dames' information. But what with Gordon Michael Scallion, Lori Toy, what we're talking about
Father
is that
Malachi
we are in the end time. This is when the prophecies hit. If we now have an adjusted map, what I'm about to tell you about the seven thunders will make some sense.
Okay. The seven thunders. I guess that is sort of a chronicle of what is going to occur. Am I correct?
Yes. We're told about seven thunders.
All right. Listen, we're at the top of the hour. Great break place. So, Robert, hold tight, and thunder when we return, rolling thunder indeed. In the meantime, both of our sites are more or less crippled.
What did we do?
Yeah, what did we do? Stay right where you are, Robert. Robert Ghostwolf is my guest, and when we return, we will discuss the seven thunders. Is all of this making sense to you? By the bottom of the hour, we'll be taking calls. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
To Coast AM with Art Bell. Here again is Art.
When it's 77. It's a great deal on some great books, but don't wait. Order now for Christmas at 1-888-690-1277 or on the web, it's www.earthpulse.com. I want to tell you all that we have a rejuvenated, incredible newsletter. It's called Art Bell After Dark. They've gone to glossy paper. The photographs in the newsletter are astoundingly good. The articles are excellent. I write monthly, one myself. Ramona also now has taken to writing an article sort of every month. And I think you will find it a very enlightening newsletter. It's very much unlike any other newsletter. It reflects, frankly, this program. And this program is very much unlike any other program. I wouldn't have it any other way. So if you like the program, you're going to love the newsletter. And now the newsletter is directly in line with the program, and I'm very proud of the current issue. You're going to want to see it. And the deadline for ordering it is rapidly approaching. So take a chance. Believe me, you'll be pleased. Art Bell After Dark. You can get it by calling 1-800-917-4278. They're open 24 hours a day, including now. 1-800-917-4278. All right, we're about to talk about the seven thunders. Robert, welcome back to the program. I do have something I want to read you very quickly and see if it makes sense to you.
Okay.
Dear Art Bell, according to Christian doctrine, there will be 7 years of tribulation divided into two halves before the return of Christ. Christ made it emphatically clear in the Bible that no one would know the day or hour of the second coming. However, he said nothing about the year or the month. Can you please ask Robert if his data shows something unusual, intriguing, occurring in the middle of the year 2003?
The way I would have to answer that is this is 2003 that we're going into. And there are some very intriguing things that will happen. Yes, the data does show, and it can be correlated, and we will put it up on the website eventually, if we can get it all working.
Yeah.
Where we will show, based on this information, where it's coming from, and that it can be calculated by people themselves, you know.
All right. Let us turn our attention then to the seven thunders. What are they?
Okay. I just got a note here by... Would it be all right if I gave them some phone numbers to get them off the net?
Yeah.
Okay, because if they want to get the information, they can call up, or they want to get Last Cry or Winds of Change, they can call up. We have an 800 line. We've improved since the last time because we were not expecting what happened the last time I was on your show to happen. There's like two people, and everybody's a voluntary staff. We have like thousands of phone calls.
Yeah.
But we have an 800 service. It's just 800-905-8367. 800-905-8367.
And there they can get
They can get the books. They can get Winds of Change. Or they can call us at Wolf Lodge at 509-465-1606. That's 509-465-1606. And if they get off the net, they may be able to make those phone calls and they could fix the net again. Does that ever happen?
Not to the degree that we're experiencing tonight, to my knowledge, Robert, no. My website is really at a giant juncture point in the, you know, the web of the internet. And it's just flat down. I mean, it's destroyed. And your website, I can't bring up. Keith can't bring up. We've got people trying, and nothing's coming up right now.
Well, so Keith can't do it. They probably can't do it at Houston.
We have injured the web.
Okay.
So, anyway, the
Thunders.
Thunders.
The Thunders are okay. What we're talking about is prophecies that are thousands of years old here. And what I've tried to do is make them palatable for today's language. And the first three thunders have already occurred. And these are, again, the warnings or the signals. Let's use the word signals because warnings has a negative inclination to it.
Okay.
The signals that we are definitely in the end times and it's time to clean our house. The first thunder talks about that there would be much starvation and sickness, that we would see millions of children suffering and dying, and that we would not be able to help them. I think that we've already seen this in Bosnia and Rwanda.
Oh, yes.
And we're talking about that they would see many homeless people, many people without a means of sustaining their everyday lives. And we are seeing that every day now in the world, wherever we go. I mean, the number of homeless is unbelievable.
Sickness, we have diseases and viruses and things coming out of Hong Kong and Africa that would curl your hair. We have diseases for which we can no longer treat people because antibiotics are no longer working. So,
yes, and then that brings us sort of to the second thunder, which is after we see the millions of starving and homeless, that the sky will become sick, that holes will appear that will be like sores. They will have effects on both the physical as well as the dimensional realities of man. So we're talking about that in areas it would be hard to breathe, that many forms of lung illness will develop. If we were to look at the sky with soft eyes, which is a term that my elders have taught me, is how we look at the world usually is through hard eyes. We see somebody, we know who they are. We tell ourselves what it is before we see what it is. And therefore, it's that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's like we all know what a stop sign is. We all know what a red light is. We have this pre-programmed consciousness that gives us social consciousness so that we all understand what a tree is, what blue is. But if you look with soft eyes, you don't look with prejudgment. You simply look at situations. If you look at the sky with soft eyes, you would see a green mist coming from the holes. And regarding the physical manifestations, they're talking about that from this green mist, strange bacteria would be born into the waters.
Mm.
That first it would appear in the populated areas in the surface water, and we would see the fish and the things that live in the water begin to grow deformities. And this is what they call the little devils, the three little devils. This is the term they use for the bacteria.
You know we have that now.
Yes, we do. Like I said, the first three have already happened. Later, you will notice that many thousands and thousands of life forms that live within the waters will begin to die, and that they will come up on the land seeking to escape the water from which they live, because the water will mean death to them. And now we're seeing this not only with Fisteria with the fish, which I understand now is, I got a couple of emails that it's been seen in the Pacific.
North Sea.
It's right, it went all the way to, like, Denmark, right? But it's now been seen in the Pacific.
Great.
And that would bring us into the third thunder. The third thunder speaks about that we would see many new species, as well as many mutations in animals. Now, we talked last time about jackrabbits with 5 ears, pictures I think you even have on your website of frogs with multiple limbs.
That's right.
We're talking about also that there would be a crossbreeding of other species so that you would see for the first time in nature species that you couldn't identify. They would be part one animal and part another animal. And they talk about the dyings of the frogs. We have lost millions of frogs. The honeybees are disappearing. And now we have problems with turtles on the East Coast.
We have...
And in the ocean.
We have cancerous tumors on turtles that they absolutely just flat can't account for.
And you were just saying earlier that now we have it with the dolphins.
That's exactly correct. And we're going to, by the way, coming up this Sunday, little plug for Dreamland, we're going to be talking about dolphins on Sunday. The synchronicity of this is too much for me. All of this is happening. I mean, we're not talking now about prophecy. We're talking of, well, I guess we are. But we're talking about what's happening now.
Right, but again, how did they know this thousands of years ago? They say that when we see the deformities in the animals, that within 1 year we would see this in human beings. That we would see human beings being born with multiple limbs, missing organs. We would see multiple births, people being born like litters. And then that they talk again about the viruses, and they say that there will be a way to prevent two of them. Somehow they'll find a way to prevent it. So I'm going to equate that to they're going to find a way to filter two of them out of the water.
Mm.
But the third one they would not be able to deal with. The third one would have on its own. Now, I have a report that I just got from the New England Medical Journal December 3rd about a doctor at the University of Texas Medical Center who came down with this flesh-eating virus. It started out as a small scratch and spread. They had to remove tissue and muscle.
Yes.
And he was in the hospital for 17 days being taken care of before they could finally stop it.
One of two things will happen if you get it. You will either lose your limbs, a limb, limbs, or you will die. Or they will amputate ahead of it and save your life. That's it.
That's it. So it's called, they call it the green mist of death. Now it sounds a little biblical to me. Wasn't that the kind of thing that came through Egypt when Moses was there?
Something like that.
Then that would bring us to the fourth thunder. The fourth thunder deals with the twins in the heavens, which are the Kachinas, which the Hopi say was what the Hellbop was. It had two tails.
Yes, it did.
And that, that now, when the fourth thunder comes, what happens is that the twins, one of the twins is the guardian of the North Pole, and the other twin is the guardian of the South Pole, that they would come and they would wreak chaos, havoc, with these poles. Well, that would equate to electromagnetic frequency changes that we're going through. Everything, the poles are moving, they're wobbling. And then it goes into the fact that we're going to, because of this, because of everything that is in our consciousness that's connected to the electromagnetic frequencies, which is how we get our information, how we can think and process. We're little electrical biocomputers. And that we would then begin to experience hidden realities, realities that we were not aware of. Once the first three thunders came, in the native way of looking at it, spirit warns you three times, then you're on your own. So the fourth one has to do with what we're dealing with the shifting of realities at this time. And we're told that in this time, several of the lost cities and ancient temples would be discovered. That the information, the knowledge that they had buried, not, they buried it knowing that this time would come and that we would have to have something to have as a reference point. Because we would be in total chaos. We would not know what was happening. Also, if we go back to the Mayan prophecies, we or the Hopi prophecies, we're told that in this time that we walk in two worlds, what happens is that all of the structures of our society start to break down. Religious structures, science structures, financial structures, social structures, they all start to break down. And the time and the dates are there. It's right now. These lost cities, and I just got an email from people who are with National Geographic. Some reporters in it that they have just found one of these cities near Lima, Peru. A totally intact city that they didn't even know was there.
Really?
I don't know about the pyramid that was supposed to be discovered. I tried to research that.
I can tell you what I know.
Okay.
There was a report on the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather.
Right.
That they had discovered a pyramid in Alaska. A blue pyramid. Now, My latter understanding of this is, even though it was reported that way, that there was a some sort of movement or change in an ice field up there, glaciated blue ice, and there appeared to be a large glaciated blue ice pyramid. Not a pyramid as we would find at Giza or in Peru or in Mexico or elsewhere in the world, but a glaciated blue pyramid. Now, that in itself, people can go, aha, so it's not a pyramid. Or you could take it as you would take a sign like the twins that you just talked about.
Correct.
But I know that over a year ago, I guess, you predicted there would be a pyramid found in Alaska.
That there'd be a shifting of the earth and the ice, and that they would find a pyramid, and also along with that, they would find the remains of an ancient city.
Yes, precisely.
And that was in Last Cry. And the situation being that that's going to literally shift consciousness, because how all of their dates, see, everything goes down to dates. If your points of reference are altered, then that changes your point of perception. If you suddenly find out that the Sphinx is 28,000 years old and not 5,000 years old, it alters everything. It alters everything that you're calculating everything by.
All right, where are we at number...
We're in the fourth one, and the fourth one talks about that these cities would come and that we would then be hit by the devil winds, the whirlwinds. And the whirlwinds and the devil winds, according to my friends in Peru, are beyond any question of a doubt, El Nino. El Nino would mark the beginning of the earth changes. So far, everything that I've seen on El Nino talks about meteorological points of view. It talks about mathematical and scientific facts.
Correct.
But they're not talking about the spiritual implications that it could have. And so my question would be, when you're considering all this, why do you separate spirit from everything that's alive, since nothing can live without spirit? And if you've ever hunted an elk and had to skin it, you know what I'm talking about.
I have not.
Well, we've got to do it sometime. But it goes into that the El Ninos would be that they would come in and they would cause the devil winds. And that these winds would come apparently from nowhere. Sometimes they would squall up like tornadoes. You would look for a tornado, but you wouldn't see one. Now, this definitely correlates with the things that happened in Montana.
I know.
And the things that are happening everywhere now. We're seeing all of this. They're talking about that the El Nino would also produce tremendous lightning storms that would become known as killer lightning storms.
They're also talking about the jet stream actually coming down on deck.
Well, the whole jet stream has been ripped apart by the El Nino.
Yep.
I mean, that's like a major... Everything that we calculate our weather on for the last 100 years with the Weather Bureau, they can't calculate it on now because everything's moving in different patterns.
People, however, will argue that El Nino is a repeating weather pattern that has been with us many, many, many times before.
Yes, and this El Nino is already up to the damage point and the cost and loss of lives and real estate.
True.
And already beyond what was there in 1982. Now, what the elders say about the El Nino is that what will happen with this El Nino, it will wreak havoc. It will cause floods. It will cause the mountains to change. We're seeing a lot of landslides. The South America on the Pacific coast is being battered by it. You're seeing also the other effect of El Nino, which is El Nina, which is the little girl, because the story of El Nino basically is that it's called El Nino, the Christ child, because it comes around Christmas. But El Nina is the little girl. Now, what we see with El Nina, the little girl, is what we see over on the other side, what we see going on in Australia with all of the drought and the forest fires everywhere, the brush fires, what we see going on in Indonesia. And then the devil winds come, these whirlwinds come, and they cause confusion everywhere. So now we're even seeing this drought in Brazil.
I know.
And it's moving up, and it's changing the weather patterns up here in America. But once those jet streams change, everything is altered forever. We don't know where they're going to wind up. It's like moving the veins in your body. And all of a sudden, everything's got to travel a different way.
All right, listen, we're at the bottom of the hour, and I need a break. And I think they do, too, so we will break right here. Robert Ghost Wolf is my guest. We are discussing Seven Thunders. Rolling Thunder on the radio.
Down in Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due."
If you've missed any part of tonight's program and you'd like to have a copy on tape, dial toll-free 1-800-917-4278. That number is 1-800-917-4278.
Across the country, around the world, and throughout the universe, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the CBC Radio Network.
The Songjin ATS-909 is also out of this world. Simply put, plainly put, honestly put, it is the best portable shortwave radio available in the world today. It is that. It's small. It is approximately the size of a Sony 2010. It has 200 pre-programmed memories with the most popular shortwave stations in it. Covers all of shortwave, by the way, from down below broadcast all the way to 30 megahertz. It has separate upper and lower sideband filters. It has 40 hertz resolution on sideband. On AM, it is superb. It has a better sensitivity and selectivity than any radio in the world today. Portable. It has every bell and whistle you could possibly want, including RDS reception on FM. And I could really go on and on listing the various attributes of this radio. It is simply the best. The price is $259.95, and that price, of course, includes shipping and handling. And for tonight only, hear me, tonight only, free gift wrapping as well. So, if you have somebody in your family that is a radio fan, you can't buy them a better present. If you've got the money, go for it. It's the best there is. The 909. Call Bob Crane in the morning at 7:30 Pacific Time, 10:30 Eastern at 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863, the C. Crane Company. Now, for $99, my website, www.artbell.com, is dead. And when I say dead, I mean we murdered it. Now, the Wolf Lodge website is also dead. It is a double homicide. We've killed that one, too. It doesn't even ping. There's no return from it. It's like, you know, the heart has stopped. Both on my site and on Robert Ghostwolf's site. So there is a number you can call, a couple of numbers you can call, telephone numbers, and I doubt we can, maybe we'll bring down the trunk lines, who knows. One place you can go is www.play.com, and you will see at least Snappy for as long as their website lasts. There are a couple of numbers. Now, there are two remarkable manuscripts that Robert Ghostwolf has written. And the latest is Winds of Change. And the first one, Robert, is?
Last Cry.
Last Cry. Now, Last Cry.
Last Cry, the manuscripts.
Sold out.
The book is out. It's being carried now by Barnes & Noble and Hastings.
Oh.
Bookstores and Borders. If the bookstores want to order it, they can get it through New Leaf, which or Greenleaf. Greenleaf is the 800 line that we gave.
That was 1-800-905-8367. Right.
Or they can call us at Wolf Lodge at 509-465-1606.
Okay. All right. That's all that's left because we've destroyed the website. So,
well, let's destroy the phones. Then all they can do is listen to you on the show.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Back to radio.
We go into the fourth thunder because I know that we have to get the calls.
We do.
We're also told in the fourth thunder that has to do with the physical changes. And the purpose of the physical changes is the earth is more or less going through a fever. We keep forgetting that she's a body. She's a being in her own right. She's going through a fever. She's getting rid of her toxins. She's getting rid of all of the malign thoughts that we've produced and the things that we've done accidentally or purposely to her in experimentation. And that she's throwing off her illness. And it's also done metaphorically so that we learn to get together and to get along as people. Because for some reason, when we're in tragedy, when we're in climatic changes, we tend to pull together, and all of a sudden we don't look at the differences because you're trying to get the tree out of the way of your car so you can get down the road. If someone's hurt by the side of the road, everybody stops and people try to help.
Right.
So perhaps that's why these things are happening in the manner that they are. We're being given a chance now to change around everything that I'm talking about. That's what's so frustrating. I mean, I can sit there with David Adair and other scientists, and I have, and it's frustrating to them as well. We have the technology to help everything, and yet we keep playing around with these ridiculous games with HAARP. Now they're trying to experiment with moving the tectonic plates. It's just absurd. But when we go into the second part of what the fourth thunder is, it warns us that this will be the warning of the signal of the beginning of the fifth thunder, and that we will see in this time many people leaving this life, people dying in large numbers. We're warned that four great women will perish. We've already lost two. We've lost Diana, and we've lost Mother Teresa. So there'll be two more that will come. And this will signal the beginning, ironically, of the seven circles, which are the answers to the curing of the seven thunders, where we will begin to awaken to our spirituality and start to employ it and act upon it rather than sit back and cloister it. When we move into the dimensional shifts, what we're talking about is that we're going to see first the appearances of other dimensional expressions in the embodiment of man, meaning walk-ins. We're going to see walk-ins. They're going to become people who have shifted in consciousness. You'll find that when you're dealing with walk-ins, people will make radical changes in their patterns of living, the way they believe, the way they act, the way they dress. It's a very radical thing. And the elders are also very concerned, believe it or not, they're very concerned with what's happened with the Montauk Project and other projects of that nature. They are in total understanding of the reality of them, and that they have caused a lot of damage in what we call the time-space continuum. They have literally created artificial realities that are now, because of the natural events, causing chaos in what would have happened. So that as we go into the fifth thunder and the sixth and the seventh, what happens is that these events, which probably would have happened linearly, are now merging and happening simultaneously.
Mm.
So we go again into your zero-point theories. And when we get to the fifth thunder has to do with the fact that the atmosphere is so damaged that what it protected us from, as far as radiation, as far as ultraviolet rays, that it can no longer repair itself. And that this will cause mutations in consciousness because it will allow radiation to come through, again, like in the green mist. And then it refers to in the fifth thunder that this is also when the bubble of time time, as we perceive it, will start to shift. As we go into the millennium, as we go toward zero point, as we go toward the end of whatever we're experiencing, we're told about a shifting of realities. We're talking about a merging of realities, a shifting of consciousness.
Mm.
And the quickening is now the jet stream. I mean, it's happening so fast that probably as we're talking, who knows what has happened. As we go through these changes, we will start to see that within 18 months from the time of the El Nino, that time and reality will shift. We will start to have very strange experiences of seeing demonic things, evil, that had been buried for a long time, rising up. And we will also see the other side of that. We will see a lot of people having visions of sacred people. Buffalo Calf Woman will probably appear to many women. The Virgin Mary will appear to many people. Jesus will appear to many people. Crazy Horse will appear to many people. Because the veil that has kept us separated will be condensing. It'll be shrinking. It won't be such a big separation. We're going to start to experience our connection to all things. When we...
Okay.
When we were told that in this time there's going to be an event that'll happen, and I'm going to step out and say that we're going to see it probably within the next 90 to 120 days, that the event will be caused by man and is experimenting with the earth, much like they did in Atlantis. And it's probably going to have to do with HAARP, is my intuition. That this is going to cause a volcano to explode in Central America, Mexico City. And that when this erupts, this is the one they call the Little Sister, that it will crack the egg of the phoenix, and the repercussions will move straight up the Cascades, which will fulfill the prophecy of Grandfather answering the Little Sister. Now, this will cause a lot of shaking in the earth. You're going to see a lot of shaking going on along the Pacific coast. I mean, major shaking, major earthquakes. You're going to be dealing with maybe as many as 3,200 earthquakes in a month happening all around the Pacific Rim. You're going to see intensified volcanic reaction, and it will lead up to the volcano in Mexico blowing up. Remember again, we said that El Nino is a reoccurring thing?
Yes.
What they're saying is that El Nino will come back to back. At first you have El Viejo. You have the old man. He comes and he brings the El Nino. But then you have La Vieja Damas. You have the grandmother. She will come back to back, so that we will see another El Nino come right behind this one. Not 6 years later, not 18 months later, but right behind it. And that we have to be very prepared, because it's going to cause a lot of trouble. We're going to see, you won't be able to get trucks across the road. You won't be able to get supplies to cities. You're going to lose crop failures. They say that probably within the next year we'll see the price of produce and things in the supermarket go up maybe 60-75%, maybe 80%.
I'm seeing projections of that now.
And that you won't be able to get certain things. You're going to have to understand that you won't be able to get medicines. You're not going to be able to rely on the things you've been relying on. You're going to have to go out and learn about herbs. You're going to have to learn how to grow your own food and get your own medicines, because the El Nino's effects are going to be devastating. And they're going to be devastating on us financially.
All right, my friend, we must move, because I want to get this in. I want to finish by the top of the hour here.
Okay. Well, let's just say then, as we go into the sixth thunder, we're seeing all of these changes happening. And then we're going to see the people from the stars returning. The people from the stars returning will come, and they will interact with us to try to help us prevent the seventh thunder. Because the seventh thunder has to do with zero point. It has to do with the end of what we know and the major climatic changes. They're saying that this will happen within 9 years. They're saying that the star people have given us basically 2 years to straighten out what we have, at which point, with the collapsing of time and the increasing speed in which it's collapsing, we will reach a point where the Earth will actually be in danger of self-destruction. It will have picked up the consciousness of our society, which is basically on self-destruct. the star people would intervene at that point and prevent that from happening. Now, we're not talking about millions of people being lifted up in a spaceship because they could care less about politics. What we're talking about is the preservation of the Earth.
The very Earth itself.
The very Earth itself. And then they go into the fact that in this time of the seventh thunder, this is when we will see the purifier. And the purifier is none other than Nibiru, Murdoch.
The 12th planet.
The 12th planet, which are in all the calendars and the cycles of it. And if we ever get the website up and working again, I'll have that up there so people can look at it or they can see it in Winds of Change. And what will happen and how this 3.5 days of darkness will happen, what I'm going to tell you is going to sound really simple, but it's actually what happens.
3.5 days of
three
darkness.
3.5 days of darkness. I think most everybody has got that in their prophecies, regardless of their religious backgrounds.
I know.
What happens is that Nibiru comes between the Earth and the Sun in this orbit. And we're dealing now with 26,000-year cycles, 2,600-year cycles, 206,000-year cycles, and 26-million-year cycles, everything coming into a convergence of one. This planet comes between the Earth and it comes between the Sun. So what it does, basically, is it causes an eclipse on the Earth. It stops all sunlight from hitting the Earth. When the sunlight stops hitting the Earth, just like people have a Merkabic field that moves energy around them, and we work off light, like flowers work off light, and trees work off light, and the water works off light, and the fish know when the light is there and when we can go fishing and when it's not, we work off a cosmic clock. And how the Earth gets its information is through the pyramids. The pyramids act like piezoelectric circuits. The Sun hits them, it sends impulses into the core of the Earth that keeps the molten core moving so that the Earth knows precisely how fast to move, how to turn, how to move its energy, and it holds its information. Well, when we go through the eclipse, there will be no sunlight. So if you can imagine these little carousel things that you would get at Christmas, and you put the angels up and you light a candle in there.
Yes.
And they turn around. Well, when you blow the candle out, there's no heat, there's no light, there's no energy source coming from there. So what happens is the little angels stop turning. Everything stops. Hello, welcome to zero point. When the planet comes out of that particular position and the light starts to hit Earth again, this is when we pick up in what is called the fifth world, which is called the change.
Okay.
That's as fast as I could tell it.
All right. You did very well. Stand by, Robert. Thank you. I just kept my mouth shut during all of that. And I understand that when we come back and when we open the lines in some markets, there's going to be anger. There's going to be shock. There's going to be denial and disbelief. And that's fine. For those of you who have been listening for some time now, I suspect there will be an awful lot of fear and synchronicity and understanding. So expect reactions of all of those sorts. My guest, the man you have just heard, is Robert Ghost Wolf, a Native American. And you just heard about the seven thunders. Okay, let me take one moment out now and tell you that I have myself written two books. One was called The Art of Talk, and it was just sort of the story of my life and talk radio and behind the scenes and all that kind of stuff. And as I have frequently said, that book really ticked off a lot of people. I mean, there are a lot of people who will not talk to me about this to this very day for what I said, just because I decided to lay it all out. But that's okay. It sold out, by the way. It sold out. I told you it would. It sold out. So what we have is the following offer. You can get The Art of Talk audio version autographed for a few more days. The Art of Talk audio version autographed, or for the next few days only because I'm about to withdraw this offer. I can only sign so many things. My second book, which is really what we've been talking about all night, is The Quickening. The Quickening. That's the title. And it's about exactly, precisely, what we have been discussing. You can get an autographed copy of that for Christmas, if you wish. So you can buy my first book in audio and get The Quickening as well. You can get either one, you can get them separately or together. The number to call right now is 1-800-864-7991. That's 1-800-864-7991. Now, I really do warn you that this offer is about to end. I'm going to sign as many as I can in this, you know, little period of time before Christmas. But this offer is going to end before Christmas. I can tell you that right now. So one more time, let me give you that number. And you can get The Art of Talk audio version or The Quickening, the hardback book, autographed at 1-800-864-7991. When we come back, in some markets, we'll open the lines for Robert Ghost Wolf.
Knock, knock. Hey, buddy, it's me.
For the Twin Cities and beyond, I'm Art Bell, live on AM 1500 KSTP.
This is an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Now again, here is Art Bell.
Well, here I am, and I think I just want to hear a little bit of this and sort of recover a little bit. Here's somebody who just faxed me. Hi, Art, from today's news, right before your broadcast. Our winds in the valley yesterday translated into incredible Santa Ana winds in California and gusts of 110 to 125 miles per hour were recorded today. By the way, I saw that blue pyramid on CBS, but didn't connect it to yours because it was just an up-tilted piece of ice shaped just like a pyramid. But the report, nevertheless, was an interesting quickening report because it was all about how the glaciers in Alaska have retreated to unprecedented levels never before seen. It was scary. Very scary. I presume you know what you're hearing. This is Ghost Dance by Cusco. Let's proceed. Let me give you some more information. Not only have we totally murdered my website, www.artbell.com, don't bother, it's dead. But the Ghost Lodge website is dead, and I don't just mean down because of traffic. I mean dead. I understand that Robert had about 40 phone lines available for his material. He told me during the break that it died, too. And I gave out the number for my book just before the top of the hour, and all I can get is a busy. So this is the night technology died. Oh, my God. Anyway, we're going to get to your calls. I think that now is the appropriate thing to do. What a night. I have spent some strange and unusual nights in radio, and this one goes down right near the top of the list. I'm sure that you have at least one or two already have everything people on your Christmas list. Well, I bet they don't have their own private star. A lot of people do. Oprah Winfrey, Tom Cruise. I've got one. Ramona has one. Nicole Kidman, Brooke Shields, Alec Baldwin, Madonna. You can have one. For exactly $45, you can have a star named after anybody you want. You call the International Star Registry now at 1-800-282-3333. They will send a beautiful full-color parchment certificate of record, sky charts to help locate the star, and a fascinating booklet on astronomy. The new star name is entered in the registry's book and recorded with the U.S. Copyright Office. If you want more information, call 1-800-282-3333. That's 1, and you can call right now, 1-800-282-3333. Now, North American Trading, they found this big cache of gold coins, $20 U.S. gold coins, at a Wells Fargo bank in Nevada. Now, you think about that. When these coins were minted in 1908, you could get a $20 gold piece for $20. Of course, today you will pay the price of gold, whatever that is, and it's over $300 somewhere. These are very interesting coins, though, because of the numismatic collectible value of them. They are pristine. They were covered by gold dust, just like they came straight from the mint. They did in 1908. So pick up the telephone. Now, I don't even know you can buy them, all right? I don't even know that. I'm not trying to sell them. They will send you photographs of these coins and the story behind them, and it's worth seeing. It's really neat. Call 1-800-359-4255. 1-800-359-255, and the information comes to you without cost and without obligation. The Institute of Holistic Theology is accredited by the American Association of Drugless Practitioners Certification and Accreditation Board. For more information, call 1-800-949-HEAL. All right, what a strange night. I'm going to give you the numbers. Go ahead and write them down, and here's what you can do. If you cannot get through tonight, it's that kind of a night. Just write them down and give it a try during the day. To get Robert Ghost Wolf's materials, you call 1-800-905-8367. Let me give it to you again. Write it down, please. 1-800-905-8367. With regard to my books, you're welcome to give it a try at 1-800-864-7991. That's 1-800-864-7991. And I don't know, this has just been a rough night on technology. Robert, welcome back.
How are you? Still in there? Well, we're still broadcasting.
yeah, right. Hello there. I hope we are. It really has been strange. I have never seen this much go down ever. I understand that your lines actually went down for a while.
Well, I think it's pretty much the same thing as yours, you know. It's hard for me here because where I am is not right where the phone banks are. And what we're talking about with me is it's national phone banks. So one rolls over into another, and they're just getting busy signals.
Okay. Well, at least we still have the radio, so let us jump in and see what people have to say. I imagine you're about to hear a very wide range of reactions. I'm interested myself, so here we go. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hi.
Good morning, Art, and good morning, Robert.
Where are you?
I'm in Tascadero, California.
Okay.
And I do believe with what you guys are saying wholeheartedly. And my question to Robert is what Daniel said last night about how he was sure that, you know, the prayers and everything, you know, helped him to make it through everything.
Yes.
How he's saying that everything isn't written in stone is people, their thoughts, and how they feel about things, can that change the outcome?
It can absolutely change the outcome.
I mean, I know there are things that are, you know, they're going to take place, you know, no matter what people's state of consciousness is, but that was my question.
All right.
Well, the power of prayer definitely works, and right now what we're being called upon is to go to our spirituality, to go to our hearts. We've used everything else. It doesn't seem to work. And the one thing that we haven't relied on with as much importance and emphasis is on our hearts and on our prayers. It's time to wake up the spirituality that's inside of us, whatever that spirituality is.
Does that make sense to you? I guess it does. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense.
All right. All right, thank you very much for the call. And the card line, you're on with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Pleasure. Hi, Art. Hi, Robert. Calling from Indian Springs. I got a couple questions. If the star people are privy to the coming disasters, why haven't, in your opinion, Robert, the star people repaired or prevented the coming thunders altogether, saving them a lot of work? And then I got another question.
They have intervened. They've intervened many times. A lot of the fireballs that we see in the sky, the green lights, the blue lights,
right,
that go through the sky, these have all been sent here to help us protect our atmosphere and help things.
Oh, okay.
The messengers that have been coming, and the knowledge that's being now basically released all over the world, it doesn't matter where you go. It's like coming from so many different areas now. And everybody's talking the same song.
Uh-huh.
And what they're saying is, wake up, get spiritual, and start to realize the connections of life. Start to realize the gentleness of what we are, the beauty of what we are, rather than the negative aspects of what we are, which is what has caused this.
Right. Okay, and a second question. If indeed the whirlwinds, I believe it was the sixth thunder? Was it the sixth thunder?
They come in with the fifth thunder.
Oh, fifth.
And it gets a little...
Yeah, are to appear, would it not be safe to assume they are the vacuum of space piercing the atmosphere, then creating an icy downpour of huge chunks of frozen water, some as big as cars, that similar to what happened in the Bikini Islands after they test very large megaton nuclear bombs?
I think that that's a possibility in the future. They talk about strange sheets of ice that fall from the sky. But I wouldn't give it an all.
All right.
You know, I think that the holes are causing. It's like you have a biosphere, and inside the biosphere, everything's working along like a little motor, and it's all working in harmony. And all of a sudden, you start to put holes in it, and what happens is it no longer has a point of reference. So then, what you have is chaos, which is what we're experiencing now.
Indeed. Boy, we sure do have chaos. Interestingly, just now I was able to gain access to my own website, so people might gingerly try it at www.artbell.com.
Phone call at a time.
It just came up. Yeah, that's it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Hi, Art. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Okay.
This is Steve, Art.
Yes.
Hi, Brother Robert. I'm not a Hopi, but I'm Algonquin down from Canada.
Hey.
It's snowing up here in Massachusetts right now.
Huh?
Hey, I heard you say to Art that you know through calculations when the coming of Christ is?
What we would call the Christ.
Right.
Depending upon your perception.
Well...
Or should I say... It would be that the star patterns will go back to the same pattern, and that will indicate the time that the shift will happen.
It would be easier if you just told me, and I'd understand more. And millions of people who are suffering and homeless and everything else would have probably something else to hang on to.
I'll say this much. It's already alive in you, and that consciousness will be here within 10 years. This is not a prophecy of doom. It's a prophecy of how and what will transpire as we get to that point.
Okay.
We have to understand one thing. I don't care about zero point. You have a soul, and your soul's connected to the Creator. So you have a reference point. You will not lose what you are.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Hi, this is Mark. I'm calling from Oregon.
Yes, Mark.
I had a quick question and a few comments, if you don't mind. Anyway, I was wondering, is the end really coming as early as you say it is? I mean, did I hear that right? A few years?
Well, it depends on how you're defining the end here.
The end of life as we know it now. I mean, or are you just... I mean, I'm kind of new to all this and everything, so...
What we're talking about is that it's already midnight.
Right.
And that it's not time to waste wondering about what will happen and how you can do it and which way is the right way. Because basically, inside of you and everybody else that walks on this earth is a little compass. And the compass will tell you which way to go. The problem is that we've stopped listening to that inner voice.
How long ago, I wonder?
Too long.
Yeah.
A lot of people are waking up.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello. Hello there. Did I push the right button? See here. Yeah, I think I did. First time caller line, let's try it here. You're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf.
Hi, it's Gordon from Vegas.
Yes, Gordon.
I'd like to say good evening to both of you. And a point for Robert, or a question, I imagine, is I used to study a lot of the Indian traditions and memory beliefs, that sort of thing. And I came across a couple interesting facts that when the first Europeans came to North America, there were tales of very large animals that in the last 100 years or so they attributed to possibly being dinosaurs. And I was wondering if he thought that they were racial memories or like a sweat lodge memory that was passed on to him, or whether the people were actually here at that time.
Okay.
The people or the beasts?
The people, the Indian.
Yeah, they were here.
Okay, so you don't think it was passed on?
There's even records of the fact that maybe 500 years ago they were still hunting mastodons in New Mexico.
Okay. The second is I am from Canada originally, and I spent some time with the Kaska and the Talpan Indian. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Not on a familiar basis. I know of them.
Yeah, they're up in the Yukon. And they told that... from when they came across from Europe or whatever, they said the Great Move, but in the area that they now are in, they claimed was a Garden of Eden type thing, green grass all the time, that sort of thing, and then in their racial memory that it had changed over to the seasonal areas such as the snow, that type of thing. And do you think that would have been from like the last polar shift or...
It could be from that, and I think it would help you a little bit if you referenced it to cellular memory rather than racial memory. I'm just saying that's what it is. It's a cellular memory.
Mm-hmm.
But the memory is also a prophetic vision, because Canada has always been referred to as the grandmother land, and in the times that are coming, it will become a great basket for food and growing as the climates change and it warms up over there.
Hmm.
So in that sense, it would be the Garden of Eden. It would be a grandmother energy. The grandmother country would be a nurturing energy.
All right. I'm trying to get as many calls as I can. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Hi. All right.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, gentlemen. Both daughter. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get a lot out. And
just relax. Tell us who you are and where you are.
All right. My name right now is David. And I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
I don't want to sound crazy, but I just want to say, Art, I sent you a fax last night. I wonder if you got it or paid attention to it, because I know you got a lot of faxes.
I got a lot of faxes.
And
I don't know. Asking me if I got a fax is not...
No, I know. I'm trying to clarify. I'm sorry. I'm trying to communicate a lot. Like I say, I'm trying to figure out how to do it.
What was the first question?
Okay. That was it. What, did you get my fax? Okay, never mind. You got my fax. I'm just wondering if you paid attention to it. Because in itself, it's important. What I'm really trying to say is that I know you're going to cut me off because I'm involved in radio, and you're thinking that I'm not saying anything.
You're not yet.
I know. I'm sorry. That's why I'm getting to the point. Okay, Art. All right. I sent you a fax. Please try and find it. My name's David. It came from Nashville, Tennessee. It's important.
All right, David. Thank you. We'll hold it right there because you're repeating yourself. I get a lot of faxes, and to call me up on the air and ask me, without giving me your name or the subject, did you get my letter, Art, or did you get my fax, it's a numbing question. There is no way I can possibly answer that question without understanding some of the nature of the material or in some way, I mean, you just didn't give me enough. I'm sorry. Eastern Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
I just have one question for your guest. What does he use to base his information on? Where does he get his information?
All right. That's a fair question.
A lot of the information comes down from written, I'm going to call them documents, but they're usually written on stone. Some of them are written on hides. Some of them are from oral stories that are told when we do gatherings, because the native society culture is basically an oral tradition. These stories are carried down from generation to generation. For instance, with the Iroquois people, they tell the story of the Gonawita, the prophet, the peacemaker, and it's told every year, and each person has a part of that story. And they then turn that story over to another person when it's their time to pass it on to another person. And they spend, like, several days just going through the story so that this is kept alive.
When you tell this to people, generally, what kind of reactions do you get?
When I tell this to people?
Yeah, I don't mean like on the radio here. We're going to get...
They usually understand it. And what I'm doing now, and I think something that I do deliberately that a lot of people don't do, is I tie it into facts. I tie it like with the dates on the star globe maps. I'm tying biblical myth into factual occurrence so that it's not just coming from space. It's not just coming from some grandmother or grandfather walking out in the desert who just makes a statement. It's that maybe is the difference between the Native American prophecies and a lot of other prophecies. They talk about, look, this is what's happening. See how this will happen. This is where we got it from. This happened before. There are points of reference and there are points of destination.
All right.
Did I answer that?
Yeah, you did. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello. Hello. Going once. Going twice, go on. West of the Rockies, you're on air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Hello, my name's Andy from Colorado Springs.
Hi, Andy.
You're different over the radio. Okay, I'm calling, and just, I guess it's more of a comment than a question. I was, some stuff that I was thinking of that kind of in a way supports what you were talking about. Are you familiar at all, to some degree, with movements known as Gnosticism?
The Gnostic movement?
Yeah.
You mean the Gnostic beliefs?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And what I was commenting upon is there was in more or less recent years, last 20, 30 years, there was a text found in Egypt, a series of texts, rather, called the, that referred to as the Nag Hammadi Library.
Caller, you're going to have to hold tight through the break here. We've got a break, all right?
Okay.
Robert, stand by. Everybody stand by. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Kingdom of Nye, Coast to Coast AM continues with Art Bell.
Once again, here I am. There are two ways you can go for Christmas with a telephone. And here they are. Both of them are superior telephones. One of them is the best for the money, and the other is the best in the world. You decide which one you want. The digital revolution in telephones is well underway. The old portable telephones are as gone as the dinosaurs. I could only wish that they would all be piled in one place and a great KT event would occur on top of the pile. Pretty ugly, huh? The old portable phones are horrible. The new ones do a number of things the old ones never thought about doing. They give you clarity, as if you were listening to a, you know, phone plugged into the wall, and frankly, better than a lot of them. They give you distance that's unmatched for from the base unit. They give you complete and absolute and utter privacy. Nobody is going to listen to a phone call you make. Now, there are two models that I would recommend to you. One is the VTEC 900 NDL all digital phone. The price, $119.95, delivered to your door. The other is the ultimate long-range phone with superb audio. And frankly, there are people who have had as much as 4 miles distance from it at $179.95. Now, these prices include shipping. Both are digital. One is straight digital, and the other is spread spectrum digital. And I will not burden you with the technical details, except to tell you they will do what I told you they will do a few moments ago. So, range, quality of connection, and privacy. Good, pretty good Christmas presents, I would say, wouldn't you? If you want one of them, one, the best for the money, and the other, the best in the world, both great phones, call Bob Crane in the morning at 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863. The C. Crane Company. Yeah. I have never seen such a web, pun intended, of technological destruction in the path of a radio program before. But we do have our website back up. My site is back up at www.artbell.com. There is a riotous 911 call that you've got to download and listen to, or just listen to it on the site. It is hilarious. It contains some very severe language, so be warned. But it could only be put up that way, so keep it away from the children. But I think you'll find it to be a riot. It was sent to me by a police officer in Buffalo, New York. It's a riot. And then, of course, Keith came on earlier, and you can vote for the Webbies. We have been nominated, for the, what would you call it, the Oscars, the Academy Awards of web pages, and you can vote. So we're hoping you will vote for us, and we're hoping the website will stay up. Anyway, it is back up right now at www.artbell.com. Now, back to Robert Ghostwolf and our caller. Caller, what else can we do for you?
Okay, I'm sorry. What I was trying to get at was the NASA text of the Nag Hammadi state that one of the things in the very beginning of it is it states that these are intended to have been discovered at the ending times, or whatever you want to call it. The point I'm making is one of the Gnostic tenets they were talking about was that the world is continually falling, quote unquote, not in the sense most people think of, but it is gaining a density, and the density can be measured in terms of as it grows more dense, it gains time, it gains stuff, it gains amount of people, procreation, things like this. And it's very interesting to me when you look back at the time in which these things were written and hidden and didn't surface until now, that there was no way that these people could have known, at least by conventional methods, that we would be living in a world in which the times of life had increased so much, the rapidity, the sheer amount of stuff that we produce, the sheer amount of people on this planet. And what it talks about in the text, at least in some places, is one of the things it says about it, and I think this is what's really important, at least what I'm trying to call about, is that what's important is it's not just a matter of changing the way we physically act. We have to take it. The quote, I believe, is actually, you were once one, but you have made yourself two. But now that you are two, what will you do? We have to bring ourselves back. We have to step away from the polarity that we have created in our own lives, in our own psyches.
Okay, caller, slow up. This is a way of saying we must become more spiritual.
We must become more spiritual, but the problem is so many people have been so have depended on literary sources or someone else's sources for so long that most of us, when we say spiritual, don't even know that spiritual isn't to be found in a book.
All right. Well, yeah, that's right. It's not just a word. Does all that make sense to you, Robert?
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, open their hearts, Grandfather, that they might know that there is no death, only a changing of worlds. That's what we're going through. We're going through a changing of worlds now. And it really doesn't take a lot of words to speak the truth. And as I'm saying, as Daniel's saying, as a lot of people are saying, as you're saying, you know, it's inside. It's not outside.
Yeah. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Good morning. How you doing?
Okay, we're doing all right. Where are you?
Good. I'm Rob. I'm calling from St. George, Utah.
Hi, Rob.
And I originally grew up in northeastern Utah, you know, with on the reservation, the Ute tribe there, you know. And anyway, a lot of the petroglyphs and such in the area, I believe, could tell a history of, like your guest says, the star people. And, you know, you look at the little figures on the rocks and stuff, and they almost look like they could be, you know, star people, like he says. And I wanted to ask him what he thinks of that. Robert?
Well, I think that I have some things up on my site if it ever comes back. And there's more petroglyphs coming up. I just came back from an extensive trip down in Nevada looking at the petroglyphs, and I think they speak for themselves, you know. They definitely speak for themselves. And so what we're finding out of it is that the correlation of people throughout time, isn't it funny how civilization changed, but we all keep coming up with the same story?
Isn't that a fact? Wildcard line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf.
Good morning, Art and Robert.
Morning.
Morning.
This is Jerry in Felton listening to KSCO, one of your newer stations.
In Santa Cruz.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Art, it seems like the quickening is even occurring to your own programming. These last two or three weeks have been the most amazing yet.
Very intense.
Yeah, it's getting very intense. And these things we're speaking of these last few weeks, and tonight in particular, are wondrous events. And personally, I look forward to them. I'm not fearful of them. What I'd like to ask Robert is, these catastrophic and cataclysmic earth changes that are being foretold, might they be likened to the birth pangs of a mother giving birth to a child, and that the earth as our mother is going to give birth to a new and higher human consciousness?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's not a death, it's a birth. And the pangs that we're feeling with the movement of the plates, you know, we're going back from using spiritual language and technical language, so we can explain what's going on and people can get it from both sides of their brain. But what's happening is that we're being birthed with a whole new reality. We're being given the opportunity to make a whole new expression. And instead of having to pass over and go through these changes on another plane, so to speak, we're getting to deal with them right here. We're getting to do our life reviews right here and make our changes. And for everything that happens negative, something positive happens. A lot more positive is happening than negative, but you have to be centered inside to see it.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Yes, good morning. Hey, Robert.
Morning.
Where are you, sir?
This is Shane in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
And I was wondering, he talked about the Bible and things tonight. I'm not really sure what a Native American is, but does the Native American's beliefs go with the Bible's beliefs?
In some aspects, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're talking about the universal prophecies, yes. When we're talking about history of the earth, in some ways, yes. But what we have to understand, that the problem I feel, this is my personal view, and there may be some that share it and some that argue with it, is that which Bible do we read? There's so many different versions of the Bible. And if we go back to the Bible that was written before 1939, there's a whole part of the Bible, the Apocrypha, which explains the bridging between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That whole piece of information has been removed from contemporary Bibles. I think that's what I would say about the Bible.
So you're saying that you said earlier that you get your stuff from stones and, you know, stuff that people wrote, I guess, a long time ago. I guess you could. Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's kind of hard because, you know, there's so many different versions. But I've got your number on your book and everything.
Right.
And I find
there's
it really
a lot in there. There's a lot in there, and there's a lot about the solutions in there. And maybe if enough people want, they can send faxes to Art and let him know, and I'll come up and talk about the other side of this too, which could be a whole show. The thing here is that, you know, there are stories here about the Pale Prophet, about Quetzalcoatl, Wacomatete, about this healer who came, who taught everybody here. Well, there really is no separation. There's just two different peoples talking about the same thing.
Yeah. I'm really interested in finding out the truth. I think, you know, you sound like you did a lot of studying, and you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show there.
Right. No matter how people are reacting to this, with anger, with amazement, with awe, whether they're incredulous, you didn't just pull this out of the air. That's obvious. There'll be many reactions to it, Robert. But
I'm sure there'll be a lot of emotional reactions because people have got to stretch their basic core beliefs here.
Yeah.
But the situation is, I've never ever been attacked for the content of what I have to say.
Understood. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Where are you?
This is Christine. I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington.
Yes.
Hi, I have a couple questions, Robert. First of all, I was curious, you're from the state of Washington, correct?
Right now, yes.
I was wondering where your sweat lodge was located. Is it in Washington, or?
I do a lot of lodges in different places.
Oh, okay.
No, we build them in different places. My ceremonial grounds right now, where I go a lot for my own personal things, is one's in Idaho, around Sandpoint, and the other one is down in Arizona.
So is there one in Washington? If I was
there,
to call...
there are places that I go to where we have gatherings for this. Yes.
Mm. Okay. Well, I had a question. You made a comment earlier about the frustration that you felt because we have a lot of technology that you feel could help with everything.
Yes.
Do you remember? I'm kind of curious what you meant by that, because isn't it our technology that has helped to create a lot of the problems that we have? And I was just curious.
You know, it's like when you're blaming technology, it's like getting angry at God. It's like, you know, we so seldom thank God, we often get angry at God, you know. And so you get angry at God and you say, well, why did you damn this and why did you do this? And she turned around and said, I never did. She.
What
we're saying here is that, or what I'm saying, we're trying to get across, is stop blaming something, blame the misuse of it. The drugs that can heal you can kill you. The words that you speak when you're on a pulpit can heal people, or they can cripple people. The words that we speak to each other can kill people, or they can heal them. It's a matter of, like our friend said earlier, we have to change consciousness. We have to change our point of reference, where we're coming from.
Our and, hope, aura, and perception.
The Hopi way, it's we have to come from the heart.
That's very true.
And then all things will heal.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, I wanted to ask one more question. Art, you had a guest on earlier in the week that spoke of a large solar flare.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask Robert if that fits in anywhere with the beliefs that he's been projecting tonight, or if he did mention that and I missed it.
I didn't mention it tonight, but it is in Winds of Change. The solar flares are coming. We can expect them starting in February. They're going to come in succession. They're going to react upon the Macabre field of the Earth first, which will then react upon the electromagnetic field. And I'm expecting to see some very unpleasant things happen with our Star Wars things as a result of it.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
They are Robert, Mark, and Battery.
Metairie, Louisiana. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Look, Robert, and a parallel, but perhaps, I mean, I'm sorry, a separate but perhaps parallel idea towards what could be the cause of the coming paradigm shift. Our leaders are have us on a course of destruction, not because they sat back and said we want to destroy the earth, but because they're using everything up. You know, inevitably it could very well lead to destruction. We out here, the people in the public arena, perhaps see this. We can see what's going on. We can see what's happening. So because of survival instincts or because of a conscious desire to survive, we know that we have to make changes. We know that changes have to take place. And so therefore, we rather consciously or unconsciously start making a shift towards that process. Are you there?
I'm here. Are you finished?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Well, that's true to me. And we're starting with our minds. We're starting with our perceptions. That's one of the reasons why we're doing the ghost dance, because it is the grandmother energy. And it's about dreaming. It's about dreaming the future. It's about dreaming our reality. And it's about we the people. It's about what you're saying is true. The leaders have led us astray. But is it their fault or is it our fault? Most of the leaders, if you're any knowledge of government, don't really know what they're doing.
Well, I'm not so much assigning blame as that I'm bringing about or suggesting the possibility that we perceive the need for change, and therefore we are bringing about the change ourselves because we perceive the need for change.
Yes, and I'm going to quote Grandfather Martin of Hoodzilla, where he said, "Let your hearts be heard. Let the people stand up and let them be heard. Nothing will stop them. They only think things will."
All right, my friend. We're out of time. I want to give you an opportunity to give out the phone number. You have a new manuscript called The Winds of Change. I have a very early version of that right now. It discusses what you have brought before us this night. And you have an earlier manuscript that I believe now is only available in book form. Is that correct?
Yes, Last Cry.
Last Cry.
Book form.
Last Cry.
And our phone lines are back up.
Okay. And the phone number is?
They can call either at 509-465-1606, or they can call 800-905-8367. For those who are interested, I'm going to be signing books at Hastings in Spokane this Saturday.
Oh, you are? Hastings, is that a bookstore?
Yeah, they're all over the country. But I'm going to be signing them here in Spokane. And then on the 20th of December...
Well, wait a minute. Is there only one in Spokane?
No, there's like five of them. They're
Where are you going to be then?
I'm going to be at the Shadow Hastings in Spokane on Saturday.
Okay.
And then on the 20th of December, I'm at Elf and Rhythm in Sandpoint, Idaho. And then it'll come around. We'll post it on the web.
Which eventually will come back up.
In this night that we ended technology.
Yeah, no kidding.
So if I might just leave people with some good words.
You might.
It's a prayer from the American Indian here. It's called Great Spirit Grandfather. I ask you to look upon the faces of the children of this earth. Can you see as I that they are all the same? I ask you to look upon them and help us to hold the memory of the original teachings that we might open the people's hearts. Grandfather, I ask you to help that they might stand strong as we face these winds of change, that they might learn once again to walk without fear and judgment of themselves and each other. For upon this earth, all are your children.
That should do it.
Thank you, and I'll be here.
And I'll be here.
Tell Keith I'm sorry.
We'll do it again. I'll pass it on.
Okay.
Robert, good night.
Good night, Art.
That's it, folks. That's Robert Ghost Wolf. And tonight we covered the seven thunders that are coming. Unless we, collectively, do something about it. I guess it's up to us. Well, what a night, huh? radio's radio's something else. There's no question about it. In case my line gets back up, my books can be ordered at 1-800-864-7991. Autograph copies for a short while longer. That's it from the high desert. Good night. A cassette.